Kane and Lynch Dead Men is an ugly, ugly game. That's not necessarily me talking just about the graphics. It's got a really ugly storyline with characters that are impossible to like. And it's a third-person shooter that has several gameplay flaws as well. Some really neat ideas are buried deep, deep in there, but you're going to have to do a whole lot of digging, more than you'll probably want to do, in order to find it. The main thing in the game is its story mode, which you can play alone or in co-op mode with another player, though that player has to be local. There's no online co-op. You play as Kane, and in co-op you play as Kane and Lynch, who are two guys that are on death row. They get broken out, but before they can rejoice, it actually turns out that Lynch is in on the act, breaking Kane out so that he can reunite with this criminal organization called the Seven, who think he's a traitor, who want him to go out and get this money back because they think that he screwed him over and all this other stuff. The story gets really convoluted, and about halfway through it turns into a revenge saga. But it's impossible to care about anything that's going on in the story because every single character in the game is almost completely unlikable. There's no one to root for here, not even in like a cool anti-hero sort of way. You're just left with a bunch of really ugly characters that just become impossible to care about over time. The script certainly doesn't do it any favors. The dialogue's not particularly great, the voice acting's not bad, but really the problem is that every third word out of every character's mouth is the F word. It's just so done to death, the cutscenes are permeated with it. It just becomes a real crutch and really stands out as just kind of lazy. But it's not the story and the premise that are going to drive you away from Kane and Lynch Dead Men. The gameplay also has more than its share of flaws. It's a third-person shooter with cover mechanics and a squad tactic. It's pretty basic stuff. But the cover mechanic doesn't work well at all. You don't hit a button to get into cover or anything like that. You walk up to something, then you have to turn sideways and kind of turn back a little bit and keep turning sideways until eventually he sticks up against the wall. It's a real pain that you just kind of never use because it's such a hassle. The squad tactics are there, but they don't work very well because the artificial intelligence on both sides of the game is really pretty flawed. Your guys will just get gunned down over and over again if you send them out to do any kind of real dirty work. And the enemies aren't much better. They'll get stuck on cars and run in circles and do all kinds of dumb stuff. So that's not much fun either. The neatest idea that the game has to offer is its multiplayer mode, which is called Fragile Alliance. It's a really neat idea. Unfortunately, that idea plays out in the context of Kane and Lynch, so it has most of the same problems that the story mode has. How it works is up to 8 players can get in there, and you're trying to rob a bank or steal some jewels or something like that. You're all on the same team. You go in, you start collecting loot, each player has loot, and there's a getaway car waiting for you. If you get away, you split the loot evenly with everyone else who escapes. But at any point, someone can try and keep all the money for themselves by turning traitor and shooting down one of the other players. At that point, all the other players want to kill that player, and any dead players respawn as cops. It's a really clever idea because you never really know who's going to turn and win. Unfortunately, the shooting isn't very accurate or very much fun to pull off. And also, the AI is in the exact same spots every time you play the map, so it's like, you know that these cops are going to be here, there's going to be two cops over the fence and all that. It just becomes really repetitive really, really quickly. That's really the overall problem with Kane and Lynch. It does have some really clever ideas here and there in very short bursts, but by and large, it's a fairly standard shooter that doesn't really have mechanics that live up to the standards of the genre. If you're a fan of shooters, you're probably just going to be frustrated by a lot of the things that this game does wrong. But that said, the multiplayer is really neat and something that's probably worth seeing. So if you do have an opportunity to see it without paying full price, take a look at it, but it's probably not worth it.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
And welcome to episode number 85 of Evil Avatar Radio here at 1170 WACV. That was a very long opening, one of the, and probably the longest opening we've ever done, nearly 4 minutes long. I don't like to do long openings. I like to keep them like a minute or 30 or whatever the case. Don't like them that long. However, given the situation that's gone on this week, that was... Jeff Gerstmann formerly from GameSpot.
Formerly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was his video review that was yanked from the website, which it's still not up there. They still don't have the video review up there anymore.
Really?
It's been pulled. Obviously, you could find anything on YouTube. So that's where I pulled it from. That's kind of why the audio is a little bit off on that.
They still have his text review up, though.
They have his text review, which I heard was edited.
Really?
Yeah. They went back and they edited some parts. I'm not sure what. I mean, it still doesn't seem to change the tone of what he was saying. But yeah, the video review...
And the 6.0 still stands.
And 6.0 still stands. There's nothing... Nothing's been changed that way. But yeah, the video review was pulled. And so that was his video review. That's not on the site anymore. And not really sure why. So That's some interesting news. I mean, normally, you know, we start off jumping into, hey, what did we play this weekend? And we'll get to those things. However, this was big. This is still big, and it's still brewing.
Because at the time, you know, the entire site had, you know, pretty much been themed with Kane and Lynch stuff.
What happened, you know, I'll break it down as far as what little I know, and what little we all know. It's still, a lot of it is still speculation. Facts are this, which sounds like, what's Pushing Daisies? Facts are these, that Thursday, there was, the Penny Arcade posted a comic. Their Friday comic, Thursday, pretty early, Thursday night. And it was the one that we've seen where, you know, it shows Gerstmann getting fired over the whole Kane and Lynch saga and everything else, which caused a stir. And then Kotaku, I think, posted a story about it, and a couple other places followed suit. If you went to GameSpot that night, it was covered. The front page was covered in Kane and Lynch advertising.
Which no doubt cost a very pretty penny.
A lot of money, I'm sure. And then the review, of course, it got a 6.0, and the video review was pulled and all this other stuff. And so then it
6.0 review looks pretty embarrassing next to a bunch of high-dollar advertising like that.
You know, it does. You click on it's a lot of advertising, and then you go and they say, well, the game's not good. And his video review, as you just heard, said it's not worth a purchase.
Yeah.
Said if you can play this game without spending money on it, that's good, but it's not worth a purchase. And that's after, you know, the company spent ever how much money to do the advertising. The connection here is that, you know, he was fired because of his review, because of the 6.0. There's still some weird things. I mean, if you've got some thoughts on this, feel free to call in. We'd love to talk to you. 334-272-9228. The review was posted, like, the day the game came out, which was, like, back on the 14th of November.
Yeah.
This happened last week. This happened, like, on November 29th, I believe it was. So why wait that long? What was going on? You know?
It takes a while to fire somebody.
It may take a while to fire somebody. Well, like, from what it sounds like, again, another speculation on this one is that, you know, he either came into work or whatever the case, but his door was locked.
Wow.
They locked his office door, and there was his box of stuff sitting on the outside of that door.
Man.
And he was told to leave. That's the rumor. You know, there's a lot of speculation. Obviously, CNET, who owns GameStop, Spot. Not GameStop, but GameSpot. Boy, those always get me confused. I'll type in wanting a review, and I'll go to the you know, GameStop instead of Spot. But anyway, they own GameStop, Spot. I did it again. I'll never get it right.
Spot,
I'll never
Scott.
Get it right. So anyway, they own that, and you know, from all intents and purposes, Eidos got a little bit upset about the advertising or whatever. The other rumor I heard on that was that the advertising was supposed to link to the review. However, after the review, Eidos said, well, just link it back to the website. You know, just link it to KaneandLynch.com. Mm-hmm. You know, don't go to the review. Just have them go here. It's fine. You know, I don't know, man. I went to Eidos a few weeks back to play Kane and Lynch.
Yeah.
My first thoughts of Kane and Lynch back at PAX were I didn't like what I was seeing. It was a little bit better at the when I went out there a couple of weeks back, but I still really wasn't getting it. I did have fun. That's because you put a group of people in a room together to play one game, and they'll find the fun that they can have with it. As a single-player experience with nobody else there, maybe not so great, but... I met a lot of people there who work with Eidos, and, you know, the little time that I spent with them doesn't seem like they were very vindictive people, although I'm sure the decision of...
Well, imagine it wasn't the programmers, but more kind of, you know, if anything from Eidos was with more their marketing team.
For whatever reason, I don't see Eidos going to CNET and being like, fire this guy or we're pulling our advertising.
I think maybe...
I don't see that happening, you know?
The most I could see from coming is maybe some, I guess, disappointment in the view, but I don't see him, like, being vindictive.
It's like, I don't know if you remember, but the deal over at Penny Arcade when Gabe was defending Assassin's Creed from the reviews that it got.
Right, right.
And he specifically brought up, and this was before all this came up, the time that they ran ads for Prince of Persia 2. And then the game actually came out, and they gave it, they really lambasted it, gave it a very bad review, and they called him up and be like, what are you doing? We got ads right up there next to that, and it just looks terrible for us. They're like... sorry, man, but the reason people trust us is because, you know, we tell them exactly what we think about these games. We're not going to try to sell them on something that isn't any good.
Yeah.
You know, it's your fault the game isn't any good. So,
it's very hard to sell crap.
Yeah. But, but that's not to say that IDOS, you know, is going to call them up and, you know, demand somebody's head on a platter. But I can certainly see marketing calling and say, hey, man, what are you doing? We just spent all this money with you, and now you're making us look terrible.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to go back and either watch that review or listen to it, the one we just played, because seriously, imagine you just spent a bunch of money to advertise your product with this group, and then this guy says all of what he said, which, I mean, he didn't like that game. He's free to do that. I mean, he's a reviewer, you know? Then mm-hmm. it starts going into this situation where, okay, were they paying for, you know, were they paying for a good grade? You know, that's the speculations that's come out, is that, oh, so this is how it works.
Well, I don't think it works that way directly. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of allegations of that, and maybe that has been true at some point at some operation in the past, but I think indirectly it almost kind of has to work that way to some extent,
mm-hmm.
because advertising revenue is how these sites make all their money.
Yeah, it is.
And if a certain publisher sees them getting really terrible reviews consistently, maybe that's not the site you want to advertise at.
We're sitting inside a radio station that makes its...
Yeah.
I get paid for the commercials you hear during the show.
Right.
And for the commercials we play on this station. Seriously, I am not going to, regardless, if we've got a restaurant doing advertising or something, I'm not going to go on the air. I'm not going to do it. You can call me spineless, that's fine. But I'm not going to go on the air, unless, of course, I get food poisoning from the place. But that's a different story. But I'm not going to go on the air and talk bad about that advertiser, because I want to get paid. However, obviously, if I was a food critic and they were advertising on this, then I'd have to kind of have a little bit different story.
Would you be worried about losing your job if you went on, were very critical of one of your station's advertisers?
I would go to my boss and be like, here's what I've written, or here's what I'm going to say about this place. And I know they do advertising here, but here's what happened. Here's my experience. And then, you know, I guess it would be left up to them as to whether or not they wanted to publish that.
But it's also not part of your job description to actually go and give honest reviews of all these different advertisers. That's kind of the catch-22 that I think these reviewers are in.
Yeah.
You know, your job is to, like, give your opinion on this game, which, you know, the company is also indirectly paying your paycheck, because that's how your company makes its money, is mm-hmm. through your advertising revenue.
Yeah.
So I can certainly see how... I doubt IDOS went and said, hey, fire this guy. But
no.
I'm sure they were unhappy and calls were made. And I noticed the Kane and Lynch advertising wasn't up very long after that review either.
Well, they took that down. They've also disabled the user ratings for the game.
Yeah.
Because obviously
in the wake of all that controversy, people
all their users
very
went there
unhappy.
And started, doing the game. There's a screenshot of the forums over at IDOS before they cleaned them up, which they have done since. And it was nothing but how can you sleep at night?
I noticed that CNET denied was that IDOS had a hand in his firing. They said that, you know, our advertisers do not have, you know,
right.
any role in the hiring processes or termination of employees. Well,
right.
Yeah, but that still doesn't mean that he wasn't fired for the review that he wrote.
Indirectly, they obviously didn't say that.
Yeah.
You know, indirectly, I'm sure they did not call up and say he needs to be fired.
And they didn't say, okay.
More than likely, it went in a sense of, hey,
you made us look bad.
Some guy on your site posted
you
a
made our advertiser unhappy.
That we
and
don't
now
like.
We've lost, you know,
there's so much to this that we don't know. However, and I'm not saying you
very
know,
easy to speculate though.
It's very 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 easy to speculate. You know, Jeff's not able to talk about it. This goes with any business. If you're wondering why these people are quiet, it's because it's like it's workplace policy. You don't talk about terminations to the press.
Well,
to really anyone.
You'll get blackballed.
You don't talk about it. There's probably a good chance he signed an NDA of some type. When he was leaving or when he was hired on, whatever the case. They could have given him a severance package. Who knows? I really don't know. Although, if you lock your employee out of his office and put a box full of stuff next to it and say, here's your stuff, go, which is the rumor, I'm not so sure that they were, you know, all about giving him any severance or anything like that. There's a lot we don't know. There's a lot that we don't know about this. I wish we did know more. I hope that maybe something will come out later on about this whole thing. I wish the best of luck to Jeff, man. I hope something good happens for him. I know earlier he said, you know, he's doing fine. He's got his options open. He's in talks with people to get another job. So, you know, I hope he lands on his feet. I don't think he'll have a problem. He's got nothing but support from not only the gaming journalism community, but the gaming community in general.
Yeah,
I don't think there's anyone who looks at this, regardless of what you think of the guy, I don't think there's anyone that looks at this and is grateful for what happened. This is not the way things are supposed to happen. Now, on the other side of it, you know, what I was talking about, is this the way things go? Do websites get paid and then we're supposed to give them, or, you know, do gaming review sites get paid money for advertising and in turn they get a good score? You know, is that how it works? Because this is what it looks like.
Yeah. It may happen in some cases indirectly, and in others it may not, you know.
But it looks like that, but still, the rating stands. They haven't done anything. They never changed the rating.
Yeah.
They had plenty of time to change that rating if they wanted to, but they never did. Or to re-edit the review or whatever the case that they wanted to do. They had time to do this. And make a change if they wanted to. I'm not really sure. I really don't know. I wish I knew more.
Well, it's the kind of thing that, you know, we've talked about for years in the game industry in regards to reviews.
Well, I remember there was one
and online.
I think IGN came under fire once for the Driver 3, I think it was. I'm not really sure. There was like a ton of advertisements, or I'm not sure what it was, but I think IGN said that Driver 3 was a great game in the preview. And then the review came out and they dogged it or something like that. I can't remember what happened on that. But there was
for years, like, you never talked bad about a game in the preview,
mm-hmm.
Because it was considered
a preview for one thing.
Yeah,
could change.
And, you know, the company like is you know opening this game up, you know, to you before it's finished, and so you're you know kind of discouraged from saying bad things about the game till it actually comes out. I mean, that was, I guess, kind of understood in the industry for a while, and still to an extent. I don't see very many negative previews about a game.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who, but somebody did a write-up on how to read a preview, how to look for the hidden negative comments in previews that are kind of spun around and just kind of placed in there for the reader to find if they know what they're looking for. But I think this is the most like direct fallout that we've seen that I can remember that could directly be linked to the kind of thing we've suspected for a long time.
LeBuke's in the chat room. He asks, isn't that illegal-ish? Yeah, I would say it's totally legal. Radio came under fire a couple years back, or even maybe before then. I'm not really sure. I remember hearing about it. I've heard about it a few times working here. Not that we partook of the practice of payola. Payola is a radio, like not a radio station, but a record label, giving a radio station money or gifts or giveaways or little things like this in order to play that song more and more,
mm-hmm.
so that it gets spins and then it climbs up the charts of, you know, hey, that's getting a lot of airplay. It was called payola. This is on Wikipedia. You can look this stuff up. There's nothing new. I'm not really saying anything new here. But, yeah, it came down and they're like, uh-uh, that's illegal. Can't do that. You know. This seems to be in that same vein where it's like, well, we'll pay a bunch of money in your advertising or we'll, whatever the case. Maybe there is nothing illegalish about this. These people pay for advertising. If they get a good score, they get one. If they don't, and then the guy gets fired, obviously they can twist this and just say, oh, it was a bad coincidence. I'm not sure. You know, again, there's a good chance that we'll never know what really happened here.
I doubt we'll ever really get the full story.
We'll get somebody's story, I would think. You know, maybe after a while, Jeff will tell us his side of the thing. I'm more inclined to believe him for whatever reason, just because everything seems shady on the other end.
Well, I mean, we're just getting a lot of double talk from CNN and GameSpot.
Yeah, you're not really getting double talk. You're getting talk of we're not allowed to speak on this topic, or we're not allowed to talk about this. So I'm not really sure. Okay, I was looking at a picture somebody linked in there, but I can't see what that is, so I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, so it's shady and it's very, it gives me pause and makes me think something's not right. Something's not right there with what happened with him. Obviously, it's not right with what happened to him, but there's something else there. And again, we may never know. So Who knows? Anyway, so, I mean, if you've got any thoughts on this or any comments on that, feel free to call in or feel free to email us, everyone, at evilavatarradio.com, or you can call 334-272-9228. We might have a little bit more to talk about this a little bit later on, if there's anything new coming up. There was apparently a boycott today of the sites.
Really?
Of anything CNET related. Specifically CNET and GameStop. Spot. I screw it up all the time. But, yeah, there was like a boycott of that today. It didn't really go over too well because they didn't get the word out quick enough, but it was supposed to be like Black Monday. Don't go there. Don't link. Don't click any links to it. Don't post any links there. I don't know how well that went over for them, but I don't know. This is just...
I didn't go there, but I don't usually anyway, so...
I don't either. I really don't. The only time I go there is during E3.
Yeah.
Their streaming of the press conferences seemed to work better than anybody else's. But then again, I got to pay them money for that, which I've already canceled my subscription, so...
Yeah.
Until more is known about this.
I was going to say, the only thing I've seen is probably GameFAQs, and that's about it.
I'm not ready to condemn anyone over this. I mean, I'm just saying, oh, what's going on? I want to know more. So, you know, right now I side with Gerstmann, and I'm like, okay, you know, I support you, and I hope you find something good. You know.
I didn't know GameFAQs was part of CNET now.
It is.
Wow.
Okay, well, then I did go to a CNET site.
Oh, today?
Yesterday.
Oh, well, yesterday's fine.
Oh, yesterday's fine. It's today.
It was today that they were blocking it out. So just go through one day without going. Yeah, I was there all weekend, too. I was looking up some Uncharted stuff that I needed to find.
It depends on, like, if I get stuck on Mario Galaxy when I get home or not.
Are you getting stuck on that?
I had a question that I couldn't answer on my own without going there. I wasn't exactly stuck. It was just like, why aren't these levels showing up complete? I've gotten all the stars. Why aren't they showing up complete? And I found out why.
What'd you find out? Because I'm kind of curious on that. Which one are you? Because I would like I'd look at my. See, we've totally changed subjects.
We can talk about this later. We're going to talk about Mario Galaxy later.
Okay, we'll talk about Mario Galaxy later. If I remember to do that, we'll talk about it later. So yeah, no. Nabokov Fan 87 says you don't have to pay to watch the E3 vids. You just need to sign in. Not necessarily. I paid there because I think they had like better access to it if you paid. I think you could watch it, but I think there was a better link if you paid them or whatever, you know, to get a better stream or something like that. So, you know, I do that. So, but yeah, there's not enough that we don't know. There's not enough out there that we know yet about what went on. So, I don't know. That's what I'd like to know. I'd like to know what happened. And, you know, but I guess it's really none of our business.
Well, we won't. You know? Yeah. It's not really, I guess.
Who knows?
On the other hand, like, I guess maybe it is, sort of, as far as, like, the, you know.
Well, do you trust GameSpot? Do you trust GameSpot? I had to make sure. Do you trust GameSpot?
Neither one, really.
Do you trust them?
No.
When you go there now, do you read a review, and do you trust that? Do you trust that review? Especially if it makes, like, a 9.0.
I guess that depends on the reviewer.
You know?
Yeah.
Does it depend on the reviewer, though?
Yeah, I think it depends a lot more on the
reviewer. Who's to say they aren't taking the money, or they aren't, you know...
Taking the money, they're just... They don't get any of the advertising.
Well, who's to say they aren't complying with, like, whatever...
They don't feel the pressure from above? Yeah.
What if they're under the pressure? Yeah, exactly. How do you trust that anymore? And so it's an integrity issue now, and it's... How do they recover from this?
I don't know.
You really think he's going to get a call from them and be like, hey, man, we were wrong. Can you come back and work for us? Really think he's going to take that? If after everything was true in the sense that, you know, they did what they did when they let him go, no, wouldn't go back. But, yeah, how do you recover from something like this?
I don't know that there's really that much to recover from. I mean, I don't know that most of the people that visit GameSpot are necessarily the same people that are really upset about this.
Really? You haven't read the comments over there, have you? Well, you haven't been, have you?
Well, I've also been to a lot of sites where there's a lot of comments from people that, you know, a controversy crops up, and then they head over there to comment on it and tell them what terrible people they are.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I've got a GameSpot account, but I don't read any of their reviews. You know, I created it a while back to do something that I can't even remember what it was. So, but I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but I think the people that are really going to care about this probably get their you know, news and reviews from somewhere else anyway.
Well, yeah, you know, the big question is reviews. You know, reviews are just an opinionated, piece of whatever that's written for you to go there and, oh, did this guy enjoy the game? So what's to say that he enjoyed the game, but you will too, you know? What's to say that he thought it stunk and you're gonna not buy it on that determination?
Yeah.
What is he thinking for you? You know? Is he the one making your decisions about where you spend your money? There's influence for some people.
I mean, reviews can be useful if you know what you're looking for, you know, in a particular game, and you just have certain questions about the game already, and you can check a review to find that out. But if you really don't have any idea and you just want to get somebody else's opinion on it, I don't think that's,
yeah.
Somebody else's opinion doesn't necessarily have any bearing on whether you're going to enjoy it or not.
I say a long time ago, but years back, whatever the case, I used to go when I was uncertain on a game. I would go to Game Rankings, which is owned by CNET, from what I understand. But yeah, I would go there and I would look at the review numbers. I'd just look at the scores. I wouldn't read any. Some of them I would read.
Mm-hmm.
I'd click on and I'd read those just to see. Maybe I had a question. How does the multiplayer work in this? Or is there co-op?
Yeah.
Let me go read the review and find out if there's any in there. That sort of thing. Maybe make my decision on some of that. But for the most part, if I was uncertain on a game, I was either renting it or I was waiting for someone else to give it a shot. Like you guys in here.
Yeah.
You know? You guys tell me if a game was great or not, or, hey, I like this, and you pretty much know me pretty well. Am I going to like it? You could say, I don't know. You can borrow it. Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, but...
Yeah, I'm much more likely to listen to my, you know, circle of friends or, you know, people involved in, like, well, you know, I'll check, you know, Evil Avatar threads.
Yeah.
On games because, you know, there's a lot of people there that are a lot closer to my gaming experience than, say, like a reviewer at GameSpot. Yeah. You've got me doing it. Dang it.
It's like a virus.
Right.
Or
every one of you.
Or IGN, blah, or 1UP, or anywhere else. And I kind of like 1UP, but, you know, still, it's a review's a review.
1UP seems to be coming off as the most credible site out there right now, you know, after all this happened. I don't know. It's one of those things. How do you recover from this, if you even need to recover? Is it one of those things where, okay, we're going to lose a big chunk of our base, but, oh, well, we'll survive? That's not, you know. Seriously, I don't think
advertising revenue is going to dry up.
I don't think it's going to stop, no. You know. Their numbers are still going to be high because people aren't going to care, or it's just not that big a deal to them. So I don't think their numbers are going to dry up as far as the advertising dollars. I think they're fine. I think they're going to catch a lot of flack from this for a good while. But who's to say what's to come out of this? I really don't know. I'd love to hear Jeff's side of the story, and I'd love to hear theirs as well. Theirs is probably PR spin, but that's fine. I mean, that's what they got to do. So who knows? Who knows what's to happen on that? So that's where we stand on that issue, as far as I know.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, that's it. And again, I trust Evil Avatar reviews. You know, Agent Fox, he posted a review today of Uncharted. I read it. I trusted it because I played the game. He's exactly right. You know? And he gave it a 5 out of 5. We didn't get paid from Naughty Dog. We didn't get paid from Sony. We've reviewed other games. We didn't get paid from those people. We do run advertising. I mean, that's fine. We do have advertising there, and that's great. But, you know, a game doesn't, you know. Sometimes we get advertising for games we don't even review. we just can't do it. But yeah, so even if we did get paid, we wouldn't bend to that. We wouldn't kowtow to that, that sort of thing. You know, I trust Nick, and I trust Philip, Evil Avatar, and I trust BA Penguin I know Nick anyway. Met him.
Yeah.
Great guy. He's cool. You know? And he's not going to do anything like that. Not for the site. Speaking of, let me change direction.
I don't trust that Psycho Boy 2 guy, though.
He's a little shady. No one can, like, burn out that much.
No.
That's all I'm saying. No. to kind of change the subject, staying with Evil Avatar, we hit our goal. We talked about this last week. We were trying to get up to $5,000 to get into
We need an achievement unlock sound.
We do.
Do you have one in your little machine over there anywhere?
Hang on. Oh, Lord. No, I got Leroy.
Oh, well, hey, that'll work.
But I don't have, I could have sworn I had that one in there, though.
Oh, well.
But what about the Call of Duty 4?
Yeah, do you still have James's Call of Duty 4?
That's good enough.
Rank up sound?
I don't think I do. I'm not sure.
Failure.
I don't know. I don't think I do. No, I don't have that.
Oh, well.
Goodness, I would love to. Oh, man, that would be great. Hang on. COD for... Nope, it's gone. It's gone.
Anyway, oh, we raised... Evil Avatar, you know, the community raised well over $5,000 to contribute to the Child's Play charity. Last time I checked, it was like 5,700 something.
Yeah?
Yeah. So we're Evil Avatar is now a gold sponsor up there with all the other, you know, corporate sponsors like Microsoft and Valve, and you can see the Evil Eye move up from silver to gold on that site pretty soon.
That's right.
Very
we're,
exciting.
We're now in the
really
in the gold
proud of all you guys.
We did like what is it, five? I think we did like 58. We did over $5,700.
Yeah.
And that it ends tonight at like 9 o'clock tonight. It's done, and they send it in.
Nick's going to send it in to. Child's
so
Play.
Kristen over Child's Play, yeah. And that's it. Yeah, that's you got to understand. That's a ton. That's a ton of money for a little site.
Yeah,
you know, for Evil Avatar. You got people like Microsoft, Sony, Insomniac. Who's another one up there that did one? Valve chipped in $5,000 for Child's Play. These are big companies.
Yeah,
Evil Avatar is a community-run thing, man.
Yeah, we just raised it from members. You know, gave all this money.
So all
regular
you members
guys
who,
like you and me,
yeah,
and
all of you
everybody
people
else
who,
listening,
who donated there, big thank you for that. That was a great, that was awesome. It was just,
and apparently a lot of people donated. You know, several people donated multiple times,
and some big chunks of money. Nick told me that there were some big chunks donated, but that's good. That's just, it's amazing to see that kind of unity and support.
Started out going for 1,000, ended up with 5,700. That's awesome.
You know, if you went back to it, he thought, oh, well, we'll never make it. But $1,000, we'll try. We'll try for 1,000. 1,000 was done in like 24 hours.
Yeah, first day.
Like, let's try for 3. And 3 was made. And it's like, let's go for 5.
Yeah, go for the gold.
And we made it. That was that is very amazing. So everybody... Yeah, exactly. I wish I had that. It's somewhere, I think. But anyway, yeah. Badook, that's it. Achievement unlocked. We did it. So congrats to you guys out there. That was awesome, awesome stuff.
Congrats.
So.
Good game, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Ding.
Good game.
Big ding.
GG, man.
Anyway, when we come back, we'll go over the week releases, which not very much, but we'll go over that. We've also got a lot more. Activision and Blizzard seem to like each other a lot. So much so that they became one big company, and we'll talk about that. I don't have much to say on it because I don't play World of Warcraft. However, there's other games involved in this. You know, Call of Duty, Guitar Hero. There's other games that are involved in this whole thing. So we'll talk about that coming up. We also got Major Nelson coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. He'll be calling in for a little while, and we'll talk to him about the Dash update coming up, and hopefully get in. If you got calls, you want to call in and talk to him, you're more than welcome to do it. We also have other questions for him coming from the thread. We'll try and get to. There was a lot there. We don't have that kind of time with him tonight to go over every single one of those. But we'll try and get
do
in.
We can.
Yeah, we'll try and get in as much as we can. I should say that Jeremy's here with us tonight. Zilla Dana's in the phone booth there answering your calls. She's also in the chat room. And we got Dennis here as well. James, while in the chat room, is sick and sounds like crap. I called him to see if he wanted to be on the phone with us while we do the show, and it wasn't going to happen. So, he's sick tonight, so he's not here. But anyway, we're all here, and we'll be back with more here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. It's only 13 seconds long. I was like, oh, I could go with that one. Welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here at 1170 WACV. Oh, goodness. Let's go to the weekly release here and see what we got coming out this week as far as games are concerned. Absolutely nothing. Seriously, let me look here. Let's see. Godzilla Unleashed for the Wii. Dragon Ball Z for the Wii. That's about it, really. I don't see anything too much. Elder Scrolls Shivering Isles comes out on the PS3 for you guys who are on the PS3. But yeah, not too much as far as releases. Releases are really thin now, you know. November did
all
it.
The big
so,
stuff.
You know, a lot of people still play in those games, though. A lot of people still play in Assassin's Creed and Mass Effect, of course, obviously. COD 4 is still getting played. I played it this weekend. So, yeah, it's still getting a lot of playtime there. For the Wii Virtual Console today, we got the Dynastic Hero. Sounds nasty. I don't know why, but Dynastic sounds weird. TurboGrafx 16 days, that's where that one's from. To get 800 Wii points will get you that one. Zanac, which, or is it, yeah, I guess that's what that is. Sounds like a pill. from the Nest Days, 500 Wii points. Eternal Champions, sounds like Eternal Champions. Sega Genesis Days, that's 800 Wii points for that one. Interesting stuff for the Xbox Live Arcade this week. We get the Arcade Hits program rolling out this week. Basically, that's a lot of games that have been on the marketplace now or been in Xbox Live Arcade for a long time now. They're getting a price cut. Which seems to be permanent. That would be Bankshot Billiards 2, which used to cost an outrageous 1,200 points.
Blah.
For 800 points now. Better.
Yeah.
Still needs to go down a little bit more. I bought it back when it was 1,200, though. But, you know, it never should have been that much.
No.
Luminous Live jumps down to 800 points, which, again, I think it was around 1,200 as well. Marble Blast Ultra goes for 400. Used to be, I believe, 800. Small Arms is at 400 now. And Zuma Deluxe is 400.
Zuma! Zuma!
That's exactly, yeah. I got to get that one from last week, too. So, yeah, that's what you've got coming out this week in your video game days, and it's just not too much. Hopefully you're still playing all those games that we got during November. So let's kind of hit some of the stuff here that happened this week. We hit the really big one, the whole Gerstmann situation. The game industry actually outpaced the U.S. economy.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that was pretty big. It happened Tuesday, and after all the news that happened with Activision and then with the GameSpot deal, it kind of seemed to float, but yeah, the computer and video game industry's annual growth rate from 2003 to 2006 outpaced the U.S. economy as a whole, which is, I just think that's, you know, the U.S. economy grew 4%, where the video game industry's growth exceeded 17% in that same period.
Nice.
That's huge.
Very nice.
That is huge. And I think that's great news, and so... That happened on Tuesday. Well, at least we found out about that on Tuesday. What else did we get? Well, we got the fall, the 360 fall dash updates. The details on what was going on for the dash update. Got something in your eye there?
Yeah, it's itchy.
He makes a weird face while he's looking at me because he's scratching. This is a horrible face. not at all interested in the 360 dash details. But yeah, we'll talk with Major Nelson coming up a little bit about those. Some very cool features there. We've got the friend of friends list. Yeah.
I'm excited about that one.
I'm very excited about that, because currently I'm sitting at like 98 friends. I only got room for like two more people. however, I know, Zilladane is like, I've got 9 friends. What are you talking about?
If you played COD 4, you'd have a lot more friends, Zilladane.
She does play. She doesn't play multiplayer. Yeah. You can speak anytime.
Well,
you don't
make friends playing single player. I mean, come on.
No, you don't. But yeah.
Whatever. I would hope he'd be my friend.
Say it again.
I carried that guy for forever and got shot at, so I would hope he would be my friend.
He doesn't have a gamer tag.
He doesn't have a gamer tag, though, I checked.
Yeah. Well, you know, so... but yeah, so we get the friend-to-friend thing. That's a big one for me. A lot of people are happy that we're getting DivX. Playability in the video features. And the
I understand
thing.
That. I mean,
there's a lot of people who are looking forward to that. But really,
it was
I think
one of the 360's major failings as a as a media center, not playing the most used video codec out there.
Yeah, but yeah, it's the friend of friends thing. Our friend cap is at 100 people. I am quite sure that when Major Nelson's on the air tonight, if somebody calls in, somebody's going to ask, when are they going to expand my friends list? When can I have more than 100 people?
Yeah.
Well, essentially, this will kind of take its place until that happens. Because what this will do is you can go to anybody on your friends list, look at their profile. There's an option there to view their friends. You can then look at their friends, just like you would be your own. You can invite them to games. You can invite them to be your friend, whatever the case. You can see if they're online or not. That's exactly how it works. So it seems to expand your friends list that way. While you can't add them, and we've done an interesting thing here. We've created a silver account that is, I think it's EVAF Friends.
Yeah.
Is what it is. EVAF Friends, EVAF Friends 2, EVAF Friends 3. And we've told everybody who's on Xbox Live to add that person to their friends list. So now I can get rid of some Evil Avatar friends and have room for other people who may not go to the site. Or whatever the case. I can click on, I can be in a game of COD 4 and be like, well, let me see who's playing. Go into the EVAF Friends, look at their friends, see who's all online and what they're doing. Invite whoever if I don't have them on, that sort of thing. And then you can expand that and go into ways of having game-specific friends. Maybe EVAV COD 4.
Yeah.
Or EVAV Halo 3, you know, and people who normally play that. Maybe you don't have the game. If you don't have COD 4, then you don't add that list. That's one of the other things that I've always wanted to have is some way to know that, do they even have the game? Why am I inviting? You know, I don't want to spam invite everybody on my friends list and then get like seven messages, I don't have the game, I don't have the game, you know, but I'll do this over and over again because I don't remember if you don't have the game or not. So, you know, there's a couple of ways that you can kind of use this to your advantage. So, but yeah, we're getting that tomorrow. A lot of people looking forward to it. I still want group chat. I'd still like to have that. I'd still like to be able to have a private chat with seven people or so, whatever the case.
Yeah, nice.
How many I need. More than one, which is all you're allowed to right now, to have a chat with. So, would enjoy that. Let's see. Wednesday, it was revealed that Nintendo has sold $33 million worth in virtual console downloads on the Wii. $33 million.
That's wild. That's,
you know, you've always seen that. You've seen that picture of them holding the DS and the money coming out.
Yeah. they know how to make money, man.
Oh, they know how to print cash.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did. They just printed cash. That's a lot of money. Yeah. So, yeah, it's huge. And they did a great... They did great revenue during the week of Thanksgiving as well.
Yeah.
Which you knew they would. Wii's are still in demand. The owner of the company here asked me where you could pick one up.
Yeah.
And I found out, hey, they got one on sale Sunday. I don't know if he caught it or not, but he wants a Wii.
Get there early.
So, yeah, I mean, they're still hard to find. So, you know, it's out there.
I would not have predicted a year ago that Wii's would still be this hard to find.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I've never seen it like this.
No.
It wasn't like this with the PS2. It's not like this right now with the PS3. You know, those were hard to come by back then, back when it first released. Mm-hmm. Right now, you can pick them up. But then again, they've got, I don't know, 8 SKUs. I can say the same thing about Microsoft, but yeah, I mean, they're all over the place in different bundles and that sort of thing. Dropping the price was a good thing for them as well. But the Wii's, man, hard to find. Especially during the holiday season. Going to be very hard to find. Let's see. Somebody, let me ask you about this. Is your guitar working for Rock Band?
Mine works great.
You're down
yeah.
strum?
Which I kind of hate that it works great now because I hear that people that had to get it replaced are getting a free game.
Well, I already put in my RMA. I already asked them to send me a box that I can replace because I am having problems with the...
Really?
Yeah, I am.
I hope mine continues to work fine and doesn't, like, screw up at some point down the line when
you
not
don't
as,
get anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even, you know, even accepting the free game and everything, I just hope the process doesn't become, because right now I hear it's wonderful, their RMA process. They're very, very mm-hmm. good about getting the new guitar to you, and it goes very smoothly, and they don't give you a bunch of crap for it. But I hope it, if I have a problem down the road with it, it's a smooth process.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, they're going to send me the box. I'll give them my guitar back. I've got my Guitar Hero 2 on the 360. I got that guitar that I can play with in its absence. But I was having a very small problem, but I could detect it because what I would do is I'd test it. I was playing a song, and I only got like 3 stars. And I'm like, man, what is going on?
Yeah.
I think it was Queens of the Stone Age, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just a lot of notes back to back to back to back to back.
Right.
It's one of the early songs, actually. That you play in Rock Band, and if you're playing solo guitar, not if you're playing the band, but if you're playing solo guitar, and I noticed I kept missing some of them, and I would watch it, and I would see it skip every now and again. I'm like, what's going on? So I went to the song list, mm-hmm. and I was just tapping on the down button, and it wouldn't recognize part. You know, sometimes it just wouldn't register that I was hitting the down strum.
Weird.
I was like, man, I got something wrong. So you know, I did that, sent that in. So I, you know, they haven't told me I can get a free game yet, but I'm hoping. Here's hoping for that. You know. But, yeah, I'm glad that they recognized it and they said, okay, we're going to help you out. And not only that, they top it off and saying, you know, it's running a little slow, but we want you to have the best experience possible. We'll give you a free game. We won't tell. We don't know yet how that's going to work, but we're going to offer you a free EA game, Electronic Arts. So who knows? That's good stuff.
I wonder if it'll be Madden 03, 04, or 05.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm wondering about that as well. Because, you know, EA publishes Burnout.
I can't knock on EA too bad for this. I mean, I know I don't particularly like EA as a company for a lot of the other stuff they do.
But right.
It sounds like they've really handled this RMA thing very, very well with Rock Band. So.
Well, no, that's great. And I got
to
figure that's
to them.
I got to figure that's Harmonix more than that's EA. You think?
Yeah, no, that's EA, man.
You know, it's EA totally?
This all goes through EA.
Okay, yeah.
Harmonix developed it, handed off to EA, and now it's EA has to take care of the support.
Mm. Let's see, what else happened? Wednesday we got the box art unveiled for GTA 4, and also the new trailer that was announced. I believe it happens on the 6th of this month.
Yeah?
Yeah. We'll get a new trailer.
Are you still excited about that?
Not as much as I used to be, but guess what? You know, come when they tell me what the release date is,
yeah,
and it's firm, and we get closer and closer to that release date without it moving, say, a month.
I'm glad it got pushed back, because I don't think I could have afforded to pay it any attention right here with all this other stuff coming out.
Yeah, you know, that was going to come out in October. Oh, man, yeah. I would have.
I think that would have been a pass.
It would have. Do you know how many people wouldn't have played Portal?
Yeah.
Because they would have been like, GTA 4 is coming out. I'm not buying the orange box. I'll get that later.
Right.
But then it didn't. So maybe people picked up the orange box, got to experience Portal. So, so we'll get a new trailer for that. Again, like I said, I'll be excited a month out from it. Right now, I'm not. Right now, I'm like, okay, it comes out when it comes out. But then the closer it gets, just like Vegas 2, I'm not really excited about it. It's cool that they're doing it. But, you know, a month from release or so, or maybe when it's really confirmed, I'll be like, oh, all right, really excited about it. But, yeah, I didn't. The only games that do that for me is like Burnout, you know, and Myst.
Yeah.
And maybe Legacy of Kain. Might do that for me as well. Your big favorites, basically. So, let's see. Yeah, we need to take a break here. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back,
Pay some bills.
Talk great about our advertisers. They're awesome. When we come back, it'll be 6 minutes after the hour. We'll be talking to Major Nelson here. If you got questions, everyone at evilavatarradio.com or 334-272-9228.
You really should call in for this one if you want to talk to him.
Yeah, it's going to be, you really need to.
It's going to be tight.
Yeah. We'll be back here on 1170 WACV with more of Evil Avatar Radio.
Hey, it's Larry here at Xbox Live's Major Nelson, and you are listening to Evil Avatar Radio.
Welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. One of the great things about working in radio, you got unlimited song access. Which I'm sure, I don't know, if he's ever been introduced to this song, probably not. It's Major Tom, not Major Nelson, so who knows. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines right now, and we've got Xbox Live's Major Nelson. It's Larry Herb. Hey!
That was me. You've got Major Nelson doing your bumper, Major Tom doing your song, and now you have the real thing.
I know, it's great. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, man.
Absolutely my pleasure. I'm a big fan of Evil Avatar and what you guys are doing, and I'm so thrilled you asked me. I'm glad we were able to do this.
I know. We've been trying to get it together for a while now, and, you know, you're a busy man.
Yeah, especially this holiday, man, with all the games we've got coming out and all the stuff going on. It's been crazy, but it's starting to die down now.
Yeah, we tried to get you back during the Live is 5 event.
Yep.
And, of course, too busy there. Although, we've got you now for the Dash update.
Absolutely. Dash update coming out in just hours away.
Yeah, exactly. We look forward to it. Glad you didn't give us a bigger friends list like most people want. I think that's probably one of the most requested things.
Well, I've actually talked about this frequently, and let's get that out of the way right up front here, because
go ahead. I've heard it before. I've heard you and E talk about it on your show. So.
Yeah. So what's interesting is that a lot of people want a larger friends list. Now, I get that. But when we run some queries against the system, because we know we can run a huge query across the huge database and say, okay, out of all the people on Xbox Live, what is the average number of friends? And that will pretty much tell you where the median is. I mean, any math person will tell you that. Seems like it's pretty logical. When we run that query, what the average number of friends is?
You've told me, but go ahead and tell them.
It's about 24.
Yeah.
So it is not 50, it's not 75, it's 24. I mean, it's just a little bit under 25. So so the while a lot of the folks that maybe listen to your show and clearly read my blog and a lot of the more vocal folks out there, clearly they're kind of the hardcore folks, and you know, we would love to increase the friends list, but A, the average number of friends that the average person has is you know, under 25.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, we made a decision when we designed the Xbox 360 that basically that's the way it's going to be for the life of the console, because we know we only take X number of resources, and the game knows they have 98 point blah 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 whatever resources to use. So while we could make, you know, okay, let's jack it up to 500. I'll give you a 500 friends list. That'll break Halo 2 or Halo 3. That'll break Gears of War. All the previous games prior to that wouldn't work.
Oh wow.
So it's you can't look at it from a, well, let's just look, how hard is it? How hard is it to double? Well, it's not hard at all, but you have to look at all the effects around the entire ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the challenge there.
Hey, when was the 100-person cap, when was that put in place? Way back?
Well, that was actually with the original Xbox.
Yeah.
And in the original Xbox, the average number of friends that the average folks had on Xbox Live was even lower. I think it was like around 14 or 15.
Oh, wow.
So it's trending up in the right direction. So what we're trying to do is do things like with the Friends of Friends feature, which ships tomorrow on the with the update, is try to do different creative things to kind of give people an interesting way to manage their friend list.
Yeah, I guess an interesting way to kind of skirt around that issue where it won't break the games, but kind of gives you the access that you need.
Exactly, and gives you that way to, you know. Well, the other thing we're adding is the rich profile, so now people can put in their real name if they want to, and a little bio about themselves, so you can look at that and go, oh, is that who that guy is?
Yeah, I've needed that on a few occasions. I'll get friends invites, and I'm like, who is this person? I'll have to go to Evil Avatar and look up the name and be like, okay, I know who that is. I've talked to him before in the chat room, whatever the case. But yeah, so it's nice that they're going to do that. You know, you talked about it on your show this past Sunday about how and we talked about it a few back during the last segment about how you can create a silver account.
Yep.
And have everybody kind of join in on that, and you can spawn all these different groups, basically friend groups, clan support almost.
Yeah, it's funny because Tycho posted that on Penny Arcade.
Yeah.
And I had that exact discussion with him. He basically stole my idea because I was explaining it to him, and I said, I'm going to do a post. That was actually, we were sitting around about a month ago, and we had this, you know, when this feature was, when they were working on the feature, I said, hey, couldn't you do this? And I penciled it out on the whiteboard, and everyone's like, well, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
So.
Well, anyway, sorry about that. Anyway, so let's, you know, first off, how did you get involved with Microsoft? What did you do before you were Major Nelson?
Well, before I was Major Nelson, I actually was, I used to work in broadcasting. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I worked for Clear Channel Communications I worked in their Hartford, Connecticut, Boston, Massachusetts, and New York City locations, worked on a bunch of different things. I was on the air, off the air, did all sorts of crazy stuff. And then Microsoft was working on some music initiatives back in the year 2000, 7 years ago, and they recruited me because I had put up one of the first series of websites for those stations that I just mentioned, probably in like 1995. So this is like before the web was even big. We were one of the first stations on the East Coast to stream, so I was really pushing the envelope on the technology side, so Microsoft came knocking on my door. And I moved up here to the North Pacific Northwest from the Northeast, and was working on that for a while. And then when I was inside Microsoft, you know, of course, Xbox was getting off the ground at that point. I said, I got to go work on that team, and was able to make it happen.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've often wondered, because I'm like, man, everybody thinks you got a great job, and you may think, well, it's great, but it's got its moments, I'm sure.
Oh, it sure does. I mean, it's frustrating when you really, when you want to do the right thing, and we're doing the right thing, but it can't happen fast enough because there's a lot of dependencies. We'd love to, for instance, perfect example is one of the features a lot of people are requesting is the ability to change your live ID and to do age graduation.
Which we get.
With the Windows Live ID. And we would love to have done that, but it would just require, we can't do it immediately because there's so many dependencies with other groups in the company, the Windows Live team, you know, the Messenger team. There's all these pieces that all have to line up for everything to work perfectly.
Yeah. And so, anyway, how did you get into who you are now? I mean, how did you become?
Well, what happened was I joined the Xbox Live team because they needed someone to program basically to help them understand, stay in touch with the community, and realize what they what the community wanted and take that feedback and bring it back to the product team. We have, first of all, we have a bunch of gamers on the product team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was right before, you know, right when blogging was big. So I started blogging because it's a great, you know, it's hyper-communication. And then it just kind of took off from there, which is part of the, you know, a lot of the rocket fuel that pushed me up over the edge was the, you know, was the 2005 launch of the Xbox 360.
Right.
Because when you're working on a product like that, which is highly anticipated, I mean, there was literally 2 or 3 years where I could go, and I just couldn't say certain things because we were working on this great product.
Mm-hmm.
And that really what kicked me over the edge was the launch of the 360, because it was so, you know, because everyone wanted information about it at that time, and I happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I hope that happens to me.
Yeah.
Just to
it's
be
fun when it happens.
Yeah, I bet it is, man. I bet it is. Did you ever think, I mean, like, what did you, before you joined up with Microsoft, I mean, were you a pretty big gamer before?
Oh,
then?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember coming home after school in the 80s and playing, you know, Odyssey and ColecoVision, and you know, it's interesting is over the past few years, I've noticed that people like to come up to me and say, oh, I'm a serious gamer. I own every console from here to, you know, to Timbuktu. And I've noticed that that's great, but there's a lot of people that are like that. So I don't want to say I consider myself a hardcore gamer, but there's hardcore gaming pool of hardcore gamers is only so large. We need to figure out how to expand that, kind of like what Nintendo's doing with the Wii now. You know, everyone's grandmother wants to stand there and play with the Wii. So we're working on some things on the Xbox 360 that will help us reach a much broader audience.
Yeah, well, you got the family control settings. I'm sure that's great. You have the Xbox Arcade SKU
yep.
out there as well.
Yep, the kind of the lower, you know, low cost SKU.
Well, it's a nice little entry into it, you know.
Yeah, and it's only like $20 more than the Wii, and look how much more it does.
Yeah, well, look how many more you can find on the shelves. You can't
yeah,
find the
true,
Wii
that,
anywhere.
That as well.
You can't find them at all. You want to? You know, I told you there's a thread out there that I made one before.
You sent it to me, and I've been reading it all day. It's been great.
You know, there's a lot of questions in there. The DRM issues.
Yeah.
You know, do you want it? You want to cover that? You want to give
well,
them?
Sure. Let's talk about that for a second. First of all, if anybody sends an Xbox 360 back to be repaired, when they receive their next Xbox 360, they should be able to download and play their games offline. That's the big issue here. We fixed that a while ago. Now, I will say, you know, sometimes it doesn't work, so you should call support and get that taken care of. But we know that we've got certain challenges with our DRM strategy, and, you know, we've taken a lot of the feedback from the community, and we're hopefully going to be I'm not ready to announce any changes, but I know the team is aware of figuring out how to make that a lot more flexible.
Right. You know, I know that they said, oh, don't let him get off with a cop-out. Well, you know what? I can't force the guy to say anything he's not going to say.
I mean,
so.
I can't tell you what we're going to do. I can't, you know, unfortunately, I'm not at liberty to divulge. This is not the right place for me to do that, you know, or for me to even to be the person to do that.
Yeah.
So it's that it is what it is. I'm being as honest as I can with you, and like I say, I raise this issue all the time, and we've gotten some good focus around it. We're getting better, but we know we have some more work to do.
Yeah, I don't want you walking into your office the next morning with the door locked and your stuff sitting out.
Right, I've had that happen before. I worked in radio, and it sucks. Trust me.
Yeah, I've heard stories myself. Working here as well, but not in here necessarily. And let me say that, so my door isn't locked when I come into work in the morning. Captain Stu wanted to know that right now we're able to pick the classification of how we want to be considered as gamers. There's some choices, recreational, family, pro, whatever.
Yep.
He'd like to know if there's any plans to go even further with that, maybe as so far as add an adult category.
You know, we thought about that, and that we actually thought about that before the Xbox 360 launched. And we shied away from that. I don't recall the actual reason right now, but we shied away from it because it was a little too... We didn't want to create this, like... You know, Xbox Live after dark section. That wasn't kind of the angle we were going for. So we're trying to figure out how to use that data, or how to use the gamer zones as one specific area to better match people. That's something we want to do better in the future for our gaming experiences, to be able to group people together. I don't have any features to share right now, but we know that's something we need to do a little bit better at.
Track Zero asks, can you ask the Major tonight if the update tomorrow will finally be launching the video service for Canadian 360 owners They haven't made an official statement since E3.
That is correct.
And he's wondering where that stands right now.
Well, it's. I believe they said it was going to be launched before the end of the year, and that's pretty much all that I'm being told at this point.
All right. Well, no, that's fine. Before the end of the year, we're getting close.
Yeah, I totally get that. And that's what I've been told as well. I mean, people need to decouple the conversation of the Xbox 360 dashboard update equals I'm going to get Marketplace.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they need to keep, think of those as two separate things.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Gorby asks, is the Live, I'm kind of curious on this, is the Live Anywhere project, is that still going on?
Sure it is. That was the one that we showed about 2 years ago, and we've made some interesting strides in that area, and we want to, as gamers, because everybody that works on the Xbox 360 product, you know, they're gamers, and so we want to see that as happen just as much as everybody else. There is some movement in that area, that I can't say anything about, but yeah, we've got some cool stuff that we're working on, and you're probably going to hear some more about it probably at Game Developer Conference in February.
Oh, that'll be great. I'm glad to hear that.
Assuming everything's on track.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go. I'm going down the list here looking at this, and you may have no idea on this one. Are you guys planning for the Spore release, or is the burden of server support solely on the publisher?
Well, I haven't looked at Spore, and it's not really up for me to comment on that because that's not my that's a EA title.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we'll be ready to go, you know, assuming that I don't know what their implementation is. Haven't even seen it, so I'm probably the wrong person to ask right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, somebody else had a question about Rock Band content, and I responded. I said, you know, he doesn't work for Harmonix or EA. He's probably
Find out about their content that's coming through. This is actually a true story. Every night before I go to bed, I log into Xbox, into the servers at work, and I look to see what's going to come up in the next day. And that's like the most heads up I get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's literally just an hour, maybe sometimes even 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's sure I've heard some rumblings of certain content coming down, and I can't wait to see the stuff. But yeah, I'm the furthest away from those conversations.
Okay. Well, then that clears that up. Then, what kind of dashboard updates would you like to see that aren't already planned?
You know, there's a couple things. I have like four or five of and that's what everybody forgets about the dashboard updates. Every one of your listeners and everyone over at Evil Avatar and everyone around the web, they always have their four or five favorite features. And when they don't see them in there, they get really bummed out. And there's like four or five features that I'm not going to say, but that aren't in this dashboard update that hopefully will be in the future. But I want to see some other things. I want to see how we can do to get back to our discussion a little bit earlier about how to make the friends list a little bit richer.
Mm-hmm.
And we've definitely taken a step with the friends of friends.
Yeah.
But what's the next step? How can we make that even more exciting and more interesting to gamers?
Yeah, it's interesting to see that that Friends of Friends thing was already kind of implemented with the Zune.
Actually surprised a lot of people didn't go, hey, wait a minute, if I can do that here, I bet you I'll be able to do that over here. No one really connected the dots, and as I say that, I'm sure someone's jumping up and down right now going, no, I posted that right after we saw this. But, you know, as far as I can tell, no one really picked up on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to see what we can do to make that even better.
Yeah, I was just curious how the Zune and 360, the integration, where's the future of that as well? Because they're doing some, you know, the Zune update was just, it was brand new. It was just like, a brand new product.
Yeah, Jay describes it this way, and I have to agree with him. Well, he says, think of Xbox 360 and Zune as like Luke and Leia. You don't know in the first or in the fourth one that they're brother and sister, but you learn that by the third one. So you think about it that way, and so as we get further on down in the product life cycle, that they're going to become closer and closer.
Okay. Well, that's good, and I'm excited that because I've had my Zune for a while now, and it's not really doing anything. It's sitting there, and I got music on it.
Well, it's going down podcast now with that support.
I know. I'm glad, and I hope ours gets up there. I've suggested it. I know yours is. That's great. Glad for you.
You know what? Send me an email off the air, and I'll talk to the guys over there and get you slotted in.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'd love to have ourselves on the Zune marketplace.
Absolutely.
Like I said. Let's see. Another one. Are we ever going to see 16:10 resolution monitor support?
You know, that's something that a few people have asked for, and that I've given that feedback to the team, and I don't know if it's a technical limitation of why they're not doing it, or if they've looked and they've done some research and not enough people need it. But I have given that feedback, and I hopefully we can, but I don't. That's not in this update.
Okay. Yeah. No.
You want to segue right into clans and talk about that?
Go ahead.
So the other question is people that I see a lot of posters asking for clan support. No, there is not clan support in here. In fact, I think you remember me saying probably 6 or 8 months ago that no, there wasn't going to be clan support in it because, Client support is a very focused feature. Let me actually back up a little bit and be clear. Xbox Live today has client support. It had it a year ago. It had it 2 years. It had it 3 years ago. We've got the APIs in place for developers to call. Now, for instance, if you remember how Halo 2 implemented it.
Right.
So Halo 2 used our client features, and they wanted them, and so on and so forth. But if you noticed, after, you know, you go into those clan playlists, there was never anybody there. So what, long story short, is nobody used the feature. That's why they didn't use it in Halo 3.
Hmm.
So it's kind of hard to argue for a global clan list when even arguably the biggest game of the original Xbox was Halo 2, and even then, a large enough amount of people weren't using it to make the work, you know, to really quantify or make the work necessary.
Okay, well, that's interesting to hear because, yeah, you know, you kind of look for that thing. Although now, you know, with Friends of Friends, that opens so many doors.
Sure.
To do so many different things.
Yep. You can get very creative.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was talking earlier about how we could, you know, EVAV COD 4 for people who play COD 4 or have the game.
Yep.
Because one of the things that I find myself doing is when I'm in a game, I can't tell who maybe has this game or have played it.
Right.
And so if they're, you know, and then I just spam my friends list.
Right.
With, you know, invites, and if they don't have it or that sort of thing. So, yeah, you can kind of, there's a lot of things, and they're silver accounts. You can make these as silver accounts. You don't have to pay for another gold. It's right there, so.
Yeah, the silver accounts are free. Go up and make them.
Yeah. Mr. Bibbs asks, is there any way to change the region that we set up our Xbox Live accounts? If so, how?
Well, that's a good one. You know, I remember seeing that one, and I sent a note over to my support because I don't know the answer. I don't believe there is.
Yeah.
Now, I assume they're asking about the account level because they can go into the Xbox and change it, you know, at that level. But on the account level, I believe there is not. I'm waiting to hear back from my support team. I had sent them an email.
Okay, great.
But,
well,
but as far as I know, at this point, it's not possible. Easy, but I'm going to get confirmation on that. I apologize.
No, that's no problem. Would love to hear, you know, if you do find anything out, you know, either you can send me over an email or respond in the thread if you want to. You know, make sure you have your private messages turned off in Evil Avatar.
Yeah, otherwise. I actually, you know, it's funny you say that because I would love to respond, but I don't post anywhere on the internet, unfortunately, except my own blog or the Xbox forums because
right.
I can't control my who owns quote unquote Major Nelson that username.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's just I made a blanket, you know, decision. So instead, what I do is I pick up the phone and call the heads of the different blogs and forums. It's easier that way.
Yeah, that's true. You can do it that way as well. What else was I going to ask you about? I don't know. I'm trying to go through some of these questions here and look
sure.
in here. Track Zero wants to know how many licks does it take to get the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
47.
47, yeah.
Or, no, 42, I'm
42.
Sorry.
42, you're going to get that wrong. It's 42.
Damn it.
I got to be careful with the button on you. So I don't think that's a word the FCC minds, though.
No.
I think,
okay,
I think
true.
They're okay with that. Let's see. El Kabong asks, will there ever be new wallpapers with five images instead of four, one for the marketplace? I doubt that. But,
yeah, you doubt that, because then we got to go back and tell all the old people that bought, you know, it gets back to the 100 Friends conversation. We made some very specific decisions at the original Xbox to say, this is the way it's going to be for this generation. So, yeah, I doubt it.
Okay. Gorvy wants to know, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
You know what? You know what? I'll tell you what I do right now. Well, never mind. You got your finger on the button, so forget it.
Yeah, I'll have to put it back on there. Really? That bad? That hard up for Klondike? All right, send Major Nelson Klondike bars. He really wants them for some reason.
I love them.
You just enjoyed a fried Snickers, I think, or fried Snickers.
That was just fabulous. That was absolute one of the biggest guilty pleasures I've ever had.
Yeah. Did you like having your stomach pumped after that?
Well, no one asked how I felt afterwards, and you're absolutely right. It drops in your stomach like a lead balloon. It's like clunk.
Yeah, I've had one at the local fair. One time, that was it. Wasn't going to do it again.
Yeah.
Let's see. What are your thoughts? Yeah, this is a good one. I think you posted your thoughts on this already, but I'll go ahead and ask it again. What are your thoughts on the language, the race system issue on Xbox Live? You know, there was a video that came out not too long ago.
Yeah, in fact, I responded to that video.
You did. And it's, you know, I understood, you know, a lot of people may have said that, oh, well, that's just PR speak. Well, you know, it is and it's not. It kind of makes sense in the way that, you know, you've really got to take care of this stuff yourself. We would love to, obviously Xbox Live would love, or the Xbox team would love to have a little bit more enforcement on this issue, but you just can't.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Yeah.
We've got a community of over 8 million gamers. Think of any city in America or around the world
that is 8 million members strong. And they're going to have their problems. They're going to have their bad eggs in there. So we have, you know, in the Xbox 360, we've given the tools, and I outlined those in my post last week, or, you know, that I had sent over, that we try to give the tools to the community so they can help manage themselves and help, you know, give us the feedback that this person probably isn't good, and we take all that feedback in, and we crank it out. And we're banning people all the time. Every single day I get an email of all the gamer tags that are banned. So we're doing it. But we rely on the community to provide that type of feedback and file the complaints.
Yeah. Well, I think we ran through the questions here. I was thinking we'd have some phone calls, but sometimes people get nervous calling in, I guess.
Well, I don't know why they'd be so nervous calling me. I mean,
man,
they're just going to go rail on me on the forum thread. That's what they're going
to
do.
Exactly. Well, we had Colton on a couple weeks back, and people were nervous calling in to talk to Jonathan Colton, so I have no idea what was up with
that. Oh, isn't he great, though?
Oh, he's great. Yeah. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
He is wonderful.
He was phenomenal. I had him on my show, and I just love that guy. And he's so talented, and he's so wonderful, and, you know, you can't do anything but smile after you hear that song.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great. Loved Portal. Loved it. You know, I was at PAX when he performed.
Right.
And it was that's how I first, you know, was introduced to him. And
yeah, because that was right before the Orange Box launched, wasn't it?
PAX was in August. So yeah, you know, around.
I don't even remember this. The last four months have just been a huge just blur for me.
PAX was that time when this guy came up to you with a little handheld recorder and was like, "I know you're busy, but can you record this thing and say?"
What you got me as I was running out the door because I was there. I could only do it for 45 minutes. For the first time ever, my entire family was in town, and I was like, I dropped them off at the aquarium and said, "I'll be back in an hour to get you," and then came up and did my session.
Yeah, it was really quick. What do you think? Not from, and I hope that, I doubt that you can speak outside of a Microsoft point of view. What do you feel about this whole thing that happened with GameSpot and Gerstmann and everything else? Obviously, you heard the news, but I mean.
Yeah, I sure did. And, you know, but the problem is no one's really talking, so we don't know what the real deal is.
Yeah, we don't.
That's the most disturbing part. But if some of the allegations are true, then it's pretty disappointing.
Let me ask you how does somebody recover from that? Not Jeff himself. I mean, he can find work, but how does a site like that, how do you recover from a situation like that?
You know, you need to have a real honest, you need to go out and have a real open and honest discussion and conversation with the community. They need to have a town hall meeting.
Yeah.
You know, the problem right now is, as I know and you know with gamers, is if you don't give them, first of all, even if you give them the information, the truth, they're going to make up their own stories anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But you have to go through, and at least, and if you don't say anything, it's even worse because they're just going to go off in a million different directions. So it's I'm disappointed, but they really need to step up to the plate and really communicate with the audience.
Yeah.
And with the folks that are concerned about this, because this you know, I don't. Can you look at GameSpot GameSpot reviews from this point from now on and go, gee, I wonder if that should be a 7 or an 8 as opposed to a 5 or a 6.
Yeah, we were talking about that. How can, I mean, can you go back to the, can you trust them?
Right, can you? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, when that review comes out for the next game, or regardless of what the game is and what platform it is, you're going to look at that and you're always going to have that in the back of your mind and go, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? So this game now bought all this advertising. Wait a minute. It's just, there's a lot that needs, somebody, you know, To quote Ricky Ricardo, someone has some splaining to do.
So. Yeah, exactly. Two more questions, then I'll let you go. And I've forgotten one of them already. I've forgotten one of them already.
That's quite right.
The other question is, what do you think your choice is for Game of the Year?
You know, I was just, right before I talked to you, I was on the phone with Ken Levine, and he and I were talking about this. Ken Levine, of course, is the man behind BioShock.
Right, right.
And I was chatting with him about it, and I'm kind of leaning towards BioShock, because, you know, and you know, since you listen to my show, you know that one was just, I was just crowing about that one for days and weeks and months. But I still go back to that in terms of what they did there. They took an RPG. Let's talk about it for a second. They took an RPG, and they made it mainstream. I mean, if you think about that, that's really extraordinary, because that's what that is. If you're leveling up, you're so on and so forth. But they really made it mainstream and accessible for people, you know, who really aren't into RPGs. You know, for instance, if you crack open Mass Effect, you're like, oh, God, hit points, what am I doing? Where do I want to apply my fire? I don't know. You know, this was much more easy for people to understand. It was an RPG for the mass market. Now, does that make it Game of the Year? Well, that's not for me to decide. But I just so enjoyed everything about that game. I played through it twice. I had a wonderful experience with it. That's not to say that the other titles aren't worthy. You know, of course, Halo 3, nobody does online multiplayer better than Halo, period, end of discussion. You know, they really nailed that. And you look at Mass Effect and Halo, and of course, even Orange Box. I mean, I can go right down the list. It's unbelievable. But right now, I'm kind of leaning towards Mass Effect for my money.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, that's great.
What about you?
For me, COD 4 has its place because of that multiplayer. The single player does not, I don't think. I don't think the single player alone.
You know, I thought, first of all, I love COD 4. I played the single player, and I thought the boys did a wonderful job with the level design. I thought it was very creative.
Well, when I look at it next to the multiplayer, which is all I really ever do, that multiplayer, they could have just sold that by itself.
Yeah. And no, that's absolutely true. That is a beautiful, beautiful. They did a wonderful piece of work there, and I'm so excited that people are, you know, like those guys are doing some, you know, Infinity Ward is doing such wonderful work and innovating in the multiplayer space. Yeah. We need more of that. We need more innovation.
Well, you know, you look at it, Orange Box for its value.
Yep.
Could be game of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, each one of those games is a wonderful retail game by itself, and that's.
Yeah.
You know, you can't compete with five amazing games in a box.
Price, no. You know, on the other side of things, let me ask you this. What do you think is game of the year on the PS3?
You know, probably Ratchet & Clank.
Okay. For me, it's a toss-up. It's either Ratchet & Clank or it's Uncharted.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say Ratchet & Clank. To be fair, I haven't had spent that much time with it. I played it, but, you know, that's not where I spend the bulk of my gaming day.
No. No, I agree, because I'm either doing Rock Band, which I hear you're not that great at.
Horrible. I, you know, I love Rock Band for what it is, but I am just so rhythmically challenged.
Hey, how did you like that news about Metallica maybe premiering their new single?
That I don't know. You tell me, because that would be huge. But I wonder, with Rock Band and Guitar Hero, these are songs that we know and we grew up with and we love and we play all the time. I wonder how a new IP, a new piece of content, a new song is going to do in that. Eric, you're going to be sitting there going, I don't know how this song goes. Why is it changing up now? We've all played the drums in our car when we're driving. We've all done that.
Yeah.
You know, so this taps into a different angle. I wonder how it's going to succeed, because so much of that experience is, you know, basically taking what we do in our private area, our car, and our, you know, or when we're dancing around in the shower, wherever you do your thing, you know, and taking that and putting it on Xbox. I don't know how that's going to work, since I don't even know what the song is.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I looked at it, you know, I'm not that big of a fan of Metallica, but I looked at it as for the gaming industry itself to have something as mainstream as the music industry wanting to premiere through a video game.
Right.
That's just amazing. I think that's amazing.
I used to work in the industry, as I said, and a lot of my record company friends have called me, and I'm like, hey, I'm in the gaming industry, and, you know, this is big. What do you guys think of this, you know, Rock Band? And they're just all, it's monster. And let's be, you know, record companies are always looking for plays, for ways to get their news out there, because they're just hurting. No one's buying CDs.
Yeah.
So this is just another way for them to get in front of you, and if it sells more CDs, then they're going to be thrilled with it.
Yeah. Going back to that Gerstmann thing, when you were talking about how they need to hold an open forum, that sort of thing, what that reminded me of was, it's reminded me of two things now. I remember when the Prey demo was supposed to launch.
Yep.
And, you know, the site said, yeah, we're launching here. And, of course, it was like, well, that's what they said. That's not what we said. And then I remember what happened with the Halo 3 multiplayer beta.
Right.
When we had those problems there. And the community kind of owned up to that thing and sort of said, here's what's going on. We do have one phone call. Can we take that?
Please.
Okay.
Please, let's do.
All right. Here we go. It's Track Zero on the line. His name's Drew, actually. I think he's still there. Hey, man, you're on with Major Nelson.
Hey, Major.
Hey, dude, how are you?
Pretty good.
Thanks for calling in. What's up?
I was just wondering, because this, well, I don't know if E3, of course, isn't what it used to be, but at E3 and since, it's been a lot of focus on, you know, this holiday season's games, which I actually like that the focus was on the games that are actually coming out, not years and years down the line. But now that we're done the holiday season, are we going to be seeing some upcoming stuff about next year's big games? Or?
Oh, sure. I mean, let's be clear. All the games that we talked about earlier, they're going to be selling well into next year. You know, it's always the rabid gamer who's looking for the next big thing. But we've got a wonderful slate. You know, of course, we've got Halo Wars coming out next year or later on in the year. I don't know when the date has been announced. Yeah. But we've got some wonderful things like that, that Too Human is coming out. So we've got a lot of games that, that they're working on and some that haven't even been announced yet. You know, Alan Wake is coming out. So the list goes on and on and on.
Well,
you're right.
That actually reminds me, didn't, was it Shane Kim who was, I don't know if it was a rumor or confirmed, he was going to say one big game got canceled and then we never heard anything about that?
I haven't heard that. You know, that was a rumor floating around. It was actually in the same vein as the an Xbox executive is getting canned and one game got canceled.
Yes, that was the one.
Right, that was the one. And everyone thought it was me, and I said, well, I can tell you right now, I'm not an executive, and I'm not, as far as I know, I'm not getting canned. I certainly don't have the paycheck to reflect that. But, yeah, I mean, I have heard no rumors of it. I mean, sure, there's rumors all the time, but I haven't heard anything about any games. There's been no announcements made. I mean, look at it this way. If you're a developer, Microsoft has great development tools, as a lot of folks have put up there. We've got an ecosystem for everybody from the mom and pop and the shops with, you know, putting stuff out on Xbox Live Arcade, all the way up to the major blockbusters like Ken Levine and his guys did with BioShock. So really, with our install base and the whole live connectivity, this is where you want to develop your games. And I know that the team that works with our game developers has just been had their doors beaten down by lots and lots of developers. I mean, piles of developers wanting to put stuff on Arcade and also on the platform.
Okay. Mind if I throw one more question at you?
Please do.
well, since the big games are going to be out now for a while, but moving into spring and summer, are we going to see more live arcade games in the meantime? Or?
Oh, sure. I mean, we're always, you know, we're doing a, except, of course, I say this, we're not having a release this week. every week since God only knows when, we've had a new title. So we're going to continue to do that, and there's a lot of new titles that are getting ready to come out, you know, up and through the end of the year and then beyond the new year. There's also live. I'm looking at the list right now in my inbox. Unfortunately, I can't tell you what it is, but I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, about 8 titles that they're working on. You know,
Castle Crashers near the top of that list?
Pardon me?
Is Castle Crashers near the top of the list?
Sadly, I can't say.
Oh.
I would love to, but I can't say.
That means yes.
Okay.
no, I have no idea. I remember seeing that at PAX. Loved that game, and you know, haven't heard anything since about, you know, what's going on with that. But hey, man, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot. Have
pleasure,
a good night, guys.
Friend.
All right. So we're going to let you go here. You gave us a lot more time than we ever thought we'd get from you. Are you going to be at the Child's Play dinner?
I'm going to try to make it there. I was talking with Todd Tycho earlier tonight after I was yelling at him about stealing my idea.
I think it was stolen from us, but that's okay.
I'm going to definitely try to be there. I'm trying to get my calendar all straight away. I don't know if you heard about this, but I was supposed to go to the Video Game Awards.
I heard, yeah.
But I had made a commitment 6 months ago to go to RIT. Who the hell makes a commitment 6 months ago to go to Rochester in December? How out of my mind am I?
You do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. Hey, I could have brought up your passport incident, but you know.
Oh, please. Yeah, the great passport debacle of the fall.
Man, goodness.
Yeah. I know there were many gamers that were weeping openly. They're like, send me, I have a passport. Yeah, I would have loved to, trust me. But that was, as you've heard me tell the story many times, I mean, that was, if it had to happen, that's the way it happened. I picked my things up, got in a car, drove up to my mom's house, and, you know, hung out with my mom for a couple days.
Well, thank you again for calling in. You gave us a lot more time than I thought you would stay with us, so that was great.
Well, as I always said, I'm a big fan of what you guys do, big fan of the show, love Evil Avatar. I mean,
yeah.
it's one of the first places I go over there.
You get a message from me every Monday, don't you?
I certainly do. I certainly do. So it's nice to know that people are listening to my show. I've got, some really good stuff planned for this week. I'm going to have on the guys talking about TruSkill.
Okay, yeah, you had you tried to run it. I think you were trying to get them on a couple of weeks back.
Yep, I had probably about 2 or 3 months ago when they were in town.
Yeah, you had a problem with them, so you ran the old interview.
Yep.
But yeah, it'll be good to hear with them.
This is a brand new interview where they're going to talk about a bunch of different things with TruSkill, and you know, they're going to kind of go a little bit more on how it works. And it's always great to talk to those guys because these guys are so smart, it hurts my head.
Yes, it does. I've listened to them, and they talk about it. Strax over here probably.
Yeah, when you start talking Sigma over Mu, sorry, done. Next.
Well, thank you so much again for calling in. It was a pleasure. It was a thrill. Thank you so much, man.
Pleasure was mine, gentlemen. And I will talk to you soon.
This was great. You have a good night.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. That was Xbox Live's Major Nelson. That was Larry Herb, actually, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. When we come back, we'll talk about Activision and Blizzard, and we'll have more here on 1170 with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Major Nelson's pick. No, he didn't. He picked Mass Effect for Game of the Year, didn't he?
Bioshock.
Oh, did he pick Bioshock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Were you not paying attention?
I guess I wasn't. I wasn't paying attention. You know me. You know how it goes. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Got an email here. Remember, you can email us, everyone, at evilavatarradio.com. Enclave writes to basically just praise us, but he also said, hey, could you please mention my name on the show? So I thought I would. He's from Australia, and he listens to us. So I thought, you know, that's a long way to listen. So thanks for listening from, you know, all the way in Australia. He does have a problem with the mic situation, and we'll try and work
man,
on that.
Man, I say things to Scott, and he's like, well, I watch the levels, but you guys say it to him. And he's like, okay, well, we'll see if we can, you know, get that resolved. So you guys keep, like, telling Scott there's a problem because it doesn't matter when I say, hey, man, nobody can hear me.
I don't know. Maybe it's a mic situation. I'm not sure. Maybe tonight you guys should have switched.
I tell you, right now, let me come over and, like, say something in your mic, and then everybody that listens to the podcast can let Scott know whether I sound better or not. How about that?
Well, come on over. He's coming over to the mic now.
All right, this is me talking into Scott's mic.
All right, now he's going back to his other one.
And this is me talking into my mic. So if that sounds any different, you know,
what did it sound like in your headphones, Dennis?
Sound better on your original mic to me.
Ha!
I saw you touch the board. Did you, like, pull some shenanigans?
No, I didn't pull any. I potted you up on yours. Normally I have yours all the way up.
Okay.
And when we came back from break here just a minute ago, I didn't go all the way with yours, so I just potagers up.
Okay.
Before you even came over and talked on this one. But still, regardless, it's... I'm not saying
well,
it's...
Well, now
bad.
We'll find out. It's either me or it's something with the equipment. And now we'll know. We should know for sure now after this one.
It has got to be the equipment.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, through my headphones right now, you're coming in clear. You're coming in fine. But when I go back and listen to this through my iPhone, you won't sound as loud. So...
The chat room agrees.
Yeah, they say I sound better on my mic
than
on yours. So, okay.
Here we go. We're doing tech stuff on there. Might as well. We'll get to the bottom of it. We've had too many complaints about that. So, I mean, I really want that experience to be great for everybody. I could go through the show after we're done. I could go through the show and find the parts where you speak and amp those up. It might take me 3 more hours before we get the show on. But I can go through and do that for everybody so that they can hear you. So, yeah. Do you have anything else?
No.
Okay, cool. Anyway, Enclave wanted to say that. So there you go. Congratulations. We said your name twice now on the show. So there you go. We got a final tally for our Child's Play stuff. A lot of money. You know, we originally wanted to get $5,000. Our final tally for this was $6,149.56.
That is amazing.
I don't know where the 56 cents came from, but we got the 56 cents in there. So, if somebody wants to chip in 50 more cents, we'll get $6,150. But, yeah, so we've got that. We're sending that over to Kristen now. And,
you're going to mess it all up, and now there'll be, like, a dozen 50-cent donations, and then it'll be all uneven again.
Hey, maybe we'll get to 10 off of 50-cent donations. Maybe we'll get to 10. But, yeah, we're now gold sponsors along with Valve and Microsoft.
Yay!
And Sony
yes.
Insomniac. So to the Evil Avatar community, congratulations. To everybody who donated, congratulations. Great job. That is just amazing, and it blows my mind with the generosity and the unity of this. So you guys did great. So pat yourself on the back, give yourself a hand, whatever the case. Congrats. I've got it somewhere. Hang on a second. I'll find it right here. I'll put it right there, and there it comes on. Come on. There it is.
All right.
Congratulations. Okay, moving on. Some of the news that came... You want to... Okay, you're holding that board like you were going to show me somebody had called or something. I didn't know. Let's see. Some of the other news that we've got here was the Activision Blizzard thing. I'd love to go into more detail on this. Maybe next episode, James can, because...
He's really the guy that needs to talk about this. I'm sure he'll have a lot more to say.
You know, it affects him more than I think that it does us. However, there was that news that came out this Monday about how Activision wants to... they want to have an annual release of like games like Call of Duty and Guitar Hero. This is nothing but bad news to me.
I don't like that one.
Trust me, I love getting games. I love them when they're great, and I love getting the new games. And the, you know, I look forward to the next game, the next Call of Duty game that Infinity Ward makes. I look forward to that, or maybe some downloadable content. I look forward to whenever they do Burnout. But if they did Burnout every year,
you can't have a single development team churn out quality stuff.
Not quality, no.
Once every 12
months.
No,
you can't.
And you can split it between two development teams, but that has its own problems. And with a game like Guitar Hero, man, I'd much rather see a lot of downloadable content than a brand new game every year. Or I'd like to see something done kind of like the Sims franchise, where you have your base game and then you release expansions, you know, every so often.
Mm-hmm.
I could handle an expansion or two for, you know, Guitar Hero every year. If they're like $30 and you have to have the original to play. And then you could do the thing where like once every couple of years you rebundle the game with some of the expansions and, you know, continue to sell it for $50 or $60 or whatever.
Right.
But an entirely separate game every year, I don't want to have to swap through all these different Guitar Hero discs to find the version of the game that has the song I want to play. It doesn't When Harmonix talks about Rock Band as a music platform game, I kind of, you know, envision something more along the lines of I have the game, I can buy other songs for it, other, you know, and expansions and stuff, but I don't know if their vision of a platform lines up with mine, but I certainly don't see a music platform as being once a year coming out.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Rock Band, I got to put some time into that on Friday, me and Zilla Dana. And you can chime in on this if you want to, because you had experience with it. She did the singing part, and I did the drums. Finally, doing this way and not doing it online by myself, I now understand Rock Band.
Yeah.
I also now enjoy the drums. I now am having some withdrawals because I want to play more Rock Band.
Really?
I just need people over to play.
It's a very social game, isn't it?
Holy nit. That was fun.
Cool, so we got to get together and play some Rock Band then, right?
Yes, we do.
Awesome.
We do. At my house.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, we've got to do that. That was just great. I love that, man. It was just me and her. She was doing the singing, and I was doing that. But when she was doing, you know, even so far as like Bon Jovi's Dead or Alive.
Please, I don't want to do that again.
No. That is a very, very
it
hard
kept
song.
Coming up, like I did it five times.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's
that
not
like
that though.
Aerosmith song kept
it's,
coming up.
Oh, it's man. The fact that she. It's the fact that the people that put that, you know, program the game or whatever. She's singing that, and you hear the crowd fill in those parts just like you would
at
a concert.
It's awesome. I love that.
I love that. That was great. And we saw the band's name on the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell everybody what our band's name is?
Well, okay, let me
we
first...
We can't say what my name is.
No, we can't. First off, we have to say that each person in my band member apparently is Irish or something. I don't know.
Scottish.
Or Scottish, yeah, whatever the case. They're all, yeah, Scottish.
It's a big difference there, buddy.
No, there is. There, my drummer is named McBangin. The singer will be named McWhalen. The guitarist is named McStrummin. However, Dana made hers Mc something, and
Itchin.
It's yeah, Mc Itchin with a B.
Man, now I've got to get a memory card to bring my characters over to your house.
I've got a memory card. Just borrow mine.
Okay,
I'll bring it one day to the show, and then when you
That'll
come
work.
Over, you'll have it.
That'll work.
But no. So Xbox Live or you know Rock Band says. That's not a very classy name, so it's not going to be on her McItchin with a B. So anyway.
I said I wasn't classy.
It did. The band's name is Leroy McJenkins.
that's
our
awesome.
Band's name. So that's what. But yeah, it was fun. We've only got a few more minutes here, so I guess during the after show, you guys will actually get to hear, you'll get to hear Hoggy, who's in the chat room right now. We're going to call him for the extra content here of the show. We're going to have him on the show.
And talk about Assassin's Creed and Mario Galaxy.
We're going to talk about the ending of Assassin's Creed, so spoiler warning to anybody who's listening this when the podcast actually comes around. We will talk about the ending of that because all three of us have beaten it. Me and Strax and Hoggy, we've all beaten that, so we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about our time spent with Mario Galaxy a little bit.
You mean my time spent with Mario Galaxy?
I played a little bit of it, too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Good.
I played a little bit of it, too. I got a little bit of everything. Rock Band, Galaxy, Uncharted, Call of Duty 4. I got into a little bit of everything this weekend, so, so yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, Uncharted. Man, I wish that was on the 360 for you guys.
Man, yeah.
Oh, boy, that's a great game.
I want to play that.
I am loving that game. That's, you know, it's
a few more
great
exclusives like that, and I'll have a PS3. I won't be able to avoid it.
We were talking about the Firefly things with Nathan Fillion or whatever, and the guy who composed the music for the Firefly series also composed the music for Uncharted.
Really?
Yes. There you go. One of the other things that I noticed when I was talking about voice acting and stuff and the acting of the characters... This was interesting. They recorded the voice acting with the actors who recorded the character movements at the same time. In other words, they acted out the scenes, and whatever was going on, that's exactly what happens in the game. Very cool stuff to see.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got to go. We will be back next week with Evil Avatar Radio. Thanks for everybody joining us tonight. We will see you next week. Bye. Somewhere. Bye. All right, we're starting now.
Oh, okay.
Now?
Now or...
That was
when
then.
When is it going to be now?
This
soon.
Is now. Yeah. We already did this once, didn't we?
Yes.
I've already done this. I know it's easier to not talk directly into the microphone and swear, but now that I have to talk directly into the microphone, swearing's not going to come as natural. So
where's Kevin?
I'm getting his number here. I'm going to call him.
All right.
I've just got to... God, I hope he answers. I hope he's not high.
I hope he is.
It's always more entertaining when they are.
How do I have him in my phone list? Do I have him under Hoggy?
Yeah, he's probably...
I
okay.
I don't know his last name.
Well, I do, but I'm not going to say it on a podcast that goes out to the entire world, so...
Why not? He's not here yet.
Maybe he doesn't want it to be.
Kevin Jenkins. All right, let's get him on the phone.
We actually did used to know a Kevin Jenkins.
Oh, crap. Watch this not work. Is that? Is that a ring?
It's an interesting ring.
Yeah.
Hello.
Kevin?
Hey, man.
Hey.
What's up, dude?
There you are.
How you guys doing?
Hey, good. We're doing good. You're now on the extra content part of the show.
Ah, sweet. You guys feel comfortable and everything, right?
Yeah. You know, it's different. Normally, you know, to explain to people listening. Normally what we do is we turn the mics on, we turn them all the way up because we don't talk directly into them. The conversation flows so much better with us just kind of free form, just talking whatever.
Yeah.
That's how you get the stuff you get out of us on the last bit of the show. But if we're going to have you on, since you're coming in through the phone and we're using that, essentially those mics, I can't turn you all the way up. Because you'll come in way over-modulated and then nobody will be able to hear you.
Yeah.
Well, they'll hear you, but it'll be too much. So we're trying. This is new. We're going to try this and see how it goes with us. So anyway,
okay.
What did you do during the pod? Did you listen?
Damn it. Put me on the spot. No, I was shooting people with Mott LaCorb and P. Munger and, you know.
Oh, okay. So you're in COD 4.
Yeah.
One of the great things that he gets to do is play games while he's here. We have to be here on the show.
Well, you know, I do pay a price because I can't play my computer when I'm recording the show.
Oh dear God! What the hell? What are you playing? What are you still playing on your computer?
Come on, man! You know, like Stalker, World War II Online. You know, oh yeah, there was this new World War II mod for Battlefield 2 I've been playing lately. So, you know, I still give my PC some love, man. I know you guys don't. You know, you guys don't care anymore. I understand. It's cool.
I do.
Yeah,
I'm still playing. I played Portal on the PC, and I'm working on episode one right now.
You said you're working on episode one?
Yeah, I never played it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, you're in for some fun.
I think it's a good thing I didn't play. I didn't have to wait as long for episode two. Yeah. Maybe they'll get on the ball with episode three. That's a long shot, but
Who knows? Well, you'll like F2, man. I thought F2 was pretty cool. It seemed a bit shorter than one, but, you know, it's all right.
Well, that's fine. I got one and two to play together, so it won't seem short.
Okay, this is what I wanted to get down to. What the hell is your problem with Assassin's Creed's ending?
All right, man.
Let's get into this. And by the way, spoiler warning, because we're going to talk about the ending of Assassin's Creed. So,
oh yeah, big time.
If you don't want to know the ending about the ending of this, then you need to turn us off.
All right, I had two problems. I mean, I loved the game and the gameplay all the way right up to the end, but the last battle was completely marred for me because it was damn near unplayable.
Because of glitches or whatever, right?
Yeah, And the first time I was tickled to death. I was like, oh my God, this is great. I love this. Let's get the video camera. Let's record. Let's see what we can do. But, you know, then I got done with it. I was like, okay, now I want to play the fucking game and
see. Get the video camera record what?
We got our video camera out and recorded what was on the screen and uploaded it to YouTube.
Oh.
The glitch stuff.
Right. Okay.
I posted a link.
I didn't realize that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was yours.
Yeah, Becky recorded and uploaded it for me.
Dude, we thought you found that from somewhere else.
No, that was actually yours.
That fight
between the two Altairs was me.
That clip made it somewhere. Your voice is on that clip.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
If it's the same one that I've
Well, there's
seen.
A lot of clips. There's an awful lot of glitch clips out there because it happens a lot.
Okay, I thought you were the originator of that.
Well.
Because what, I've seen. I
the
saw
clip I posted on Mouse Look is mine.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Becky posted it in my name, which is why it's a bit cheerier than I was at the time. But
man, I thought, okay, see, I haven't experienced that glitch whatsoever, and he's talking about the two Altairs.
Well, that's good, because once you experience it, that fucker don't go away.
How did you ultimately get it to go away?
Well, I only got it to go away because I read on YouTube how to get it to go away. Actually, Becky read it because she was watching all these vids, and she saw it in the comments. Well, but let me just tell you what happened. You get to that last bit where you're right. Well, I was on a horse. I'm riding down, and you see this big legions of army, you know, guys marching, you know, out there. Looks cool as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you ride around, and there's three archers or some shit standing on the edge shooting. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't care. I'm just gonna go past them. I ran rounded the corner, ran into an invisible wall,
right,
and then fell into a non-existent hole. Fell through the bottom of the map.
Oh wow!
And you don't die if you're on your horse. You just fall. But I dismounted, and then I died. And when I respawned, I had two Altairs, who I controlled both of them. I could make one get on a horse and ride, and the other one would, you know, kind of stay there. And I found out much later, you know, because I did this for a while, that the camera would eventually, just randomly switch back and forth between the two. So you might control one up to a point, then zoom, it would go over to the other guy.
Never had that. Never
and
had
either
that.
One, either one can die and take damage for
right,
you.
Right,
so you might be controlling one, and the other one would fall through a hole in the map
it's
and
like
die.
Two guys sharing one life bar.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
And so I managed to get one of them all the way to where the next cutscene was supposed to start. You got these guys all standing around glaring at each other, and I walk up and nothing happens. They're not paying me any attention.
Because your other guy is back there? Is that why?
Yeah. It was I wasn't really there. So I stealth killed a guy, and he falls over dead. And I stealth kill the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy. And the guy next to him looks at me and draws his sword. But nothing really happens. And I stealth kill him. And it just, I stealth killed everybody there except certain ones that wouldn't let me stealth kill.
Right, right.
And wow. I was finally I don't know. I guess I'm just going to have to... I turned off...
I understand your frustration. Okay.
I turned off my Xbox, turned it back on, loaded up my save, which sent me all the way back to the last city I was in.
Right.
And then I had to ride all the way back out to this place, only to fall through the goddamn hole again.
Fuck, man.
And then I've got two Altairs again. So...
I don't know how you did that twice.
Yeah. And so I was getting really pissed. I had about decided that I was just not going to be able to finish this game. And Becky's reading the comments on YouTube. One guy was like, yeah, man, I actually went through the entire game a second time, got to it, and it did the glitch again.
I was like, yeah, man, I am not going that far.
How did you eventually get around?
Somebody said, yeah, happened to me too. The only way I was able to get through it was control both Altairs and get them both through at the same time to the point where the next cutscene occurs. And then one of them will vanish and you can continue.
How the hell did you do that?
It sucked.
Because if nobody knows, well, if you're listening, you shouldn't be listening if you don't know this. That segment of the game, it's like wave after wave. You go into a different set, you know, you go into this area, you have to fight the guys with the arrows.
Yeah.
You move on, you have to fight a couple more guys.
And they lock you in those areas, too.
Yeah, and then they come in, and there's like a shit ton of them that you have to fight at the same time.
I kind of wish I had videotaped it, because it was cool looking as hell, but it was a pain in the ass.
Wow.
But I did manage to do it. So, all this time, I'm sitting here thinking, I really want to see the end of this game. I really want to see what happens. You know, because the story's really fucking cool. There's got to be, like, something really cool that happens after this, right?
Yeah.
Nothing cool happened after that. It was that's it, man. Go back in your room and like, sit on your ass and wait, because, you know, we're going to let you live till the next game. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, some crazy symbols and shit on the floor, which apparently some people got real excited about. I mean, I don't care.
I got excited about once I read...
You gotta do some research on that shit, man, really get excited
man,
about it.
I looked it up, and I still don't care. I mean, yeah, it ties into conspiracy stuff,
that's
and
fine.
Some of it is,
no.
like, into the world. I get it, but it doesn't...
You went through hell.
I okay? did. I went through hell for that.
Kevin and I did not go through that,
it,
so we appreciated it.
So I do, I understand I have a unique perspective on it. Also, I think if you're gonna do a game that doesn't really resolve itself... That's cool, but how about, like, putting chapter one or episode one or something in the title of your game?
Well,
because
you know, that-
I know that you guys are, like, making a trilogy out of this, right? But everybody is trying to turn their new title into a franchise. Everybody.
Yeah.
And
yeah, good point.
So I just because you're trying to make it into a franchise doesn't mean that I expect to be left hanging at the end. If you let me know up front that, you know, I'm in this for the long haul, I'm cool with that, but I really expected a big payoff at the end and felt gypped.
You were skewed all over the place, man.
Yeah.
I knew I was getting into a trilogy, so I actually expected a cliffhanger ending, and it's not necessarily a cliffhanger type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's more to come.
Yeah.
You know? It wasn't really...
That is some X-Files shit, man. It just gave you a whole bunch of more questions, you know?
I mean, the game, to be fair, it has a payoff, but it's really during the last... boss battle before is, do I have my like timeline right? When do you fight the
which one are you talking about? You fight the girl who's supposed to be the guy.
Yeah.
Then you fight the guy, and then you fight your master.
Yeah, the master. I guess fighting the master and what happened immediately after that was as big of a payoff as you got.
Boy, fighting the master was some bullshit.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't have much of a problem with that. But then I went through an entire level with two Altairs. So.
Yeah. Well, I had to look up on how to defeat that guy. Because, you know, you fight him for a little bit, and then he takes all your health away. You know, he brings you down to basically a one-hit kill.
Yeah.
If he touches you once, you're gone. However, I looked it up, and they're like, well, if you throw a knife at him from a distance, you're okay.
Yeah.
And you still had knives? I didn't have any knives.
I just went up and whacked him with my sword. I didn't think it out that well. I didn't have much of a problem with it.
Yeah, I didn't. I went through it differently than that. But yeah, I got to the ending. I got into the conference room. I read the email. You know, I looked around with my little vision stuff and was looking at things on the wall and what those things. This was 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I was ready to go to bed. I was like, all right, this is great. Let me hurry up and end this.
Now, you guys saw the G-Men, right?
Yeah, I saw them. I saw the three guys standing in the room.
Of course, one of those guys.
I didn't see that.
The laptop you hack in the conference room, it's got to belong to one of those guys. Of course.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, they didn't show his face, and of course they didn't let you really see any of their faces either. So, I mean, just assuming so.
Did you get the conversationalist achievement?
No. I must have missed the first conversation with her. I'm pretty sure I did. After that, I was real, you know, I was real anal about talking to her. And I didn't get it, so I obviously, you know, wasn't anal early enough. Because the first time I remember, I just, go in my room, door's open, let me go in my room, you
know.
That's
the missed in me. You know, the Mist, the Riven, the whatever.
Yeah, that's yeah, to go mess with stuff.
Yeah, I've got to walk around every part of the room to make sure there's nothing I can interact with or there's something I can interact with in that room. And by the way, I've got to do this every time I get to walk around the room to make sure there's nothing new there that I couldn't interact with before. Because what happens at the beginning? Oh, I can't change my clothes yet, you know? And you walk in there again. Oh, I can't change my clothes yet. You walk in there like a third time, and it's like, oh, there's a number here, you know? So there's you know, and so that makes me paranoid, basically. So every time I get a chance to, I got to walk around and check every fucking thing in the room.
And you know,
you went in the shower every time for nothing.
yeah. No, I did. I knew the camera changed when I walked into the shower, but I'd still go into that damn bathroom to make sure there wasn't something I missed.
Yeah, there's never anything in the bathroom, was there?
Never anything in there.
Damn bathroom.
Other than that first time.
Thinking about that a little bit more, I'd say Altair's storyline had a decent payoff, but Desmond's, whose story I was at least as invested in, if not a little bit more than Altair's, didn't have any real payoff.
By the way,
I found out
the same guy that does the voice of Desmond is also the voice of Nathan in Uncharted.
Oh.
The main character in Uncharted is voiced by the same guy who voices somewhat of the main character. He doesn't voice Altair, but he does voice Desmond.
Cool.
Who's the guy that, you know, apparently is related to Altair, so.
His descendant. Direct descendant.
Yeah, so, anyway. Yeah, so, all right, fine. I'm glad we got down to that. You obviously enjoyed the ending, right, Kevin?
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it even more when I read the stuff about the conspiracy theories, the date of the Philadelphia experiment. Being scribed into the bottom, the whole connection with 2012 of December 12th of 2012, being the whatever that was, the Aztec calendar, is that
Mayan?
Which one was that one?
I think it's the Mayan.
Or is it the Mayan? Yeah, it's the Mayan calendar. Being the end of the world and all this other stuff. I ate that shit up. That was great. Once I had to read about it, I would have loved to have finished this at like a 2:00 Sunday afternoon. And been like, all right, let's look at this. What the hell are those numbers? Is that a date? You know, really done my Mist stuff, my Mist and Riven stuff, which is write shit down, try and relate it to other things. And that's, you know, I love those type of games. And I really enjoyed the fact that they were letting me do that. But, you know, I'm glad I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I may need to go back and do a few more things, but, you know. I'm playing Uncharted now, and god damn, that's a fun game. God, I wish it was on the 360, or I wish you guys had PS3s. That is a great game. Loving that game. So, anyway. All right, well, what else?
Mario Galaxy, man.
Yeah?
I love me some Mario Galaxy.
I loved it up until the point they introduced the comets.
Well, the only comet I've had a problem with so far has been the Cosmic Comet.
I don't like the Speed Comet. I
was fine.
All right, you guys got to break this down for me, you know.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a Wii.
Well, let me just say, man, I've played through about half the game so far, and it seems like it just gets better and better as you go through it. And it, on certain levels, it reminds me of why I got into games in the first place. It's just a pure joy to play. And when I got up to I think the most fun I've had with the game so far is on your first encounter with Bowser.
Haven't gotten that far yet.
Hadn't gotten that far. Man, when he comes down, he's like, he's big and he's, you know, well rendered. And I'm just, there's a little like 8-year-old in me that's like kind of trembling because there's this giant Bowser like growling at me.
Yeah.
And then we start like fighting, and I don't want to like tell you too much about it because I don't want to spoil the like, because a lot of the fun of this game is like figuring out the mechanics of how to do, you know, different things, particularly in a boss battle.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it involves like, well, you know, like when you swing your Wiimote to do the little spin the star thing,
right.
and go, well, you spin it to like, you know, do your little spin and whack him, and he kind of goes flying on his back, and I got really into that. That was just pure joy for a minute, whacking Bowser with my Wiimote and him, you know, go spinning around the little world thing. I don't have words for that. It was just great.
I saw somewhere online where somebody had drawn a real world interpretation of Bowser.
Yeah.
In other words, let's take his cartoony features but kind of put them in a more reality type sense.
I've seen things like that. I've never
liked that too much.
I've never liked it, only for the fact that it really scares the shit out of me. Like, God damn, I don't want to. That's and yeah, when I first saw Bowser in Galaxy,
yeah,
I was like a little bit like, damn, he's actually kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah, man. I mean, like when he was 8-bit on the NES, he wasn't, you know, on the first game. Well, he's just this like static pixel that jumped up and down and
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, but you know what that was? That and was then, going through that castle and that music.
Yeah, but then and then in Mario 3, he got like twice as big and started jumping around.
Yeah,
and I was a little intimidated
Fuck,
by his
Mario
size
64.
Then. But I wouldn't have thought that like being 29, I'd still be a little intimidated by Bowser.
Yeah,
when
wasn't
I
he huge
him,
in 64? I never played.
I didn't
Mario
64. Play
64. I didn't either. But I thought he was really huge.
Yeah.
In that one, from what I had seen. Yeah. So.
In Mario World, he was flying around in his little clown thing. So that was kind of hard to take seriously.
Yeah, because he's in a clown.
I'm like,
yeah.
Man, you're too scared to come down here and fight me, man to dinosaur. So,
and yeah. he was never scary in Mario Kart.
But yeah, I was just a little bit afraid of him.
In Mario Tennis, he was cheap because he was so big. You could basically hog the net. And be able to hit anything that was coming at you from any side.
Man, but swinging your Wiimote, it's funny the things that the Wiimote makes fun. Just little things that you wouldn't get as into pressing a button. And I know it's stupid, but it works. When you do the spin to go through the star that sends you flying, it's like you're whacking Mario with a tennis racket and he just boom goes flying off. It's great.
I haven't taken it in that step before, but I think I should.
Yeah?
You know, so, did you read Penny Arcade today?
No, I didn't.
You should go read that.
Okay.
Because Tycho talks about why people play games. Some people playing games for, okay, God, I've got to get, you know, I've got to get this high score, or I've got to get, I got to beat this guy. I've got to do this, so, you know, as almost like a chore type. Some people play it as a chore, where some people play it as a, not necessarily a pastime, but as somewhat of what games were always were, or what they always were. Sense of let me put myself in this reality,
or an escape.
Exactly. Some people play it just because they enjoy playing games, and not because it's like, oh, I got to do this. Not achievement whores, gamer score whores, whatever you want to call me. Which I'm not. You know what? If it's there, I'll take it. If it's not, I don't care. You should look at COD 4. I've only done the first part. Because I don't want
to
play.
You're an opportunist. That's what you are. You're an opportunist. If the opportunity presents itself for you to get an achievement, you'll go ahead and go with it, but you won't go the extra mile. Is that what you're saying?
Right. I'm not gonna rent whatever that fucking airbender guy is that you can get like a
Avatar.
Thousand.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you can get like 1,000 gamer score points in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh. At the beginning of the game. Avatar the Last Airbender or whatever.
Yeah, it's like The Burning Earth, I think, is the subtitle.
There's like the second level. You can get all 1,000 gamer score points in 2 minutes in that second level.
Because all it is like getting combos. That's
yeah, it's just like, oh, you've done this 50 times. Oh, you've done this 75. Oh, you've done this 100. Boom, you're done. You've got 1,000 points. But am I going to rent that game? Nope, not going to touch it. I don't care. You know?
No.
I played TMNT was an easy game to get 1,000 achievement scores, or 1,000 points, gamer score points. Did I do that? No. I rented it because I wanted to play the game. We had just seen the movie,
mm-hmm.
and I was very curious as to how the game was. I'd heard some good things, co-op involved if you had somebody else over, but not online. But I played it. It was fun. I went through it, and I beat it. And, you know, fine. I get 1,000 points for that? Great. I don't give a shit. I wanted to play the game.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I am kind of an opportunist when it comes to that. If I'm in the middle of the game and I find out ahead of time that there's an achievement for me to do what I've been doing but just do more of it, I've already started. Might as well finish it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The point is just knowing. I guess I've been burned before because I looked ahead to see what some of the BioShock achievements were.
I've never done that. I've never looked ahead.
Yeah, don't do that.
I mean, I have if somebody's pointed out, ooh, there's a really cool achievement, look at this. And they'll send me to a link of the list, and then I'll look through the other stuff. Not really, you know, I'm like, all right, whatever, fine, that's there. I don't know yet what kind of game this is, so I have no idea if this is an easy accomplishment or if it's hard. I have no idea. You know, I want to rent Project Gotham Racing for that one achievement, the DeLorean achievement.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Man, that'll take you a while to do, though, dude.
I haven't played the game. I have no idea.
I haven't seen anyone who's got it.
I look at the achievement list, you know,
a little bit ahead of time. I don't look at the secret stuff. Just
I looked at the one for Burnout.
Yeah?
I looked at the achievement list for Burnout.
But I kind of want to know, like, going into it, like, you know, what can I shoot for? You know? If there's something realistic that looks fun, that wouldn't be too much trouble, you know, yeah, I'll go for it. But if it's something that's going to be a real pain in the ass, then nah.
Yeah, look at go back and look at you got your 360 there right now. You got to go back and look at your comparison to mine. And I'm talking to you, Kevin, with Assassin's Creed. You've done a lot more in that game than I have, but we both
been... I just played it slow. That's the only real reason why. I would like do like one guy a night. I would kill a guy a night and then I would go to sleep and I would think about, you know, what the hell I did, and I'd wake up and I'd just continue on there. I just did it kind of slow. That's probably why I got a lot of the achievements, because they involved killing people.
Yeah.
You know, and I threw knives at a lot of cats, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, just like you, you know, I got the same kind of notion that if it's there and it's realistic, then I'll do it. And sometimes I'll even go back and do it, you know, just because I'm a little gamer score whore.
I noticed you're playing Fight Night Round 3.
Yeah, I bought the game and it was busted, and I couldn't play it for a while, and my wife got me a new one. And my brother had this idea that he could beat me in it, so I kind of, you know, got to get good at it. Not necessarily to beat it, but in order not to get embarrassed by my family that comes over to kick my ass on my own system.
Very true. Oh, God, it's hot in the studio tonight.
It's hot country hits,
it's
man.
It's hot country hits, that's exactly right. Oh goodness! So,
I'm pissed that I didn't get the conversationalist achievement.
Yeah,
if
me
there's
too.
One thing I'm a completist about, it's conversations in games. I mean, I'll go back if it'll let me. I'll go back and like have the same conversation and pick every, you know, path in games that do things like that. And sometimes if it's a choice that's really interesting and the game won't let me do more than one, I'll make a save. And then go from there and have every possible outcome I can, just to see what they are.
I was getting worried.
You played Deus Ex a long time, didn't you, Jeremy?
But so like it's just Assassin's Creed, man. There aren't any different paths. All you have to do is just talk to the bitch every time you have an opportunity to. And I didn't get the achievement. I'm really angry at myself about that.
Well, I was getting nervous there towards the end. I had seen, because again, that's another way I'll find out what achievements are, is by comparing mine to others, and I'll be like, wait a second, what is that one? What do I have to do to get that? And then I'll start going through the list. So there's that one of the one where you press the button to look at all the glitches.
Yeah.
I was getting worried there towards the end, because I hadn't gotten that achievement yet, and I'm like, oh crap, did I not? Because I knew I'd started doing it.
Well, you only have to get 85% of them.
I know, but I don't remember when I had started to do it every time. Because I knew earlier on, I was like, I don't care about looking at this, you know.
You know what? I think that's one that you can go back, because I've played the first one, and it still shows the cutscenes. So you can go back and get every achievement except for the conversations with Lucy. Ugh. Yeah, man.
I know. I've been thinking about
it. Really
that.
Sucks.
I got one that you guys don't.
Shut up.
Yeah, you do.
Of course, you guys got more than I do. You've got the one where you duck through 20 merchant stands or whatever. You
well,
got
when
a
I
bunch
when I
those.
Saw that was an achievement, I'm like, dude, I didn't even know I could do that. I'm definitely going to do that. Sounds like fun. So I just made a habit when I was running through the city to duck through all of them that I saw and just piss off the merchants, because it was fun. Yeah, if I get an achievement for it, great.
I didn't do it. I haven't done it yet, so... I don't know. Yeah, there's some differences there. So, who knows? Why the fuck is it so hot in here? Jesus Christ. And don't say Hot Country Hits. That doesn't... It's not the damn music. It's fucking hot.
All right, so when are you going to play Bioshock, Scott?
I don't... You know, I got to finish Uncharted, because I'm very close to finishing that off.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so when I finish Uncharted, God, you know, I've only done, like, one level of Mass Effect. Like the opening level of whatever, Eden Prime or something. I've only done that one thing in Mass Effect. I kind of held off on that because once I did that, I realized, holy shit, this is going to take me a while.
Yeah.
It's not a game like Uncharted where I can jump in there, play to the next chapter, and then stop and save. Or Assassin's Creed, I can jump in, kill one guy, and then stop and save. COD 4, let me jump in and play some multiplayer, let me level up one time, and then quit. Can't do that with Mass Effect. There's too much going on. There's too many people to talk to, too many branches of the conversation I can go through, too many paths that are up to my, you know, for my choosing. There never feels like, it's almost like, well, let me play until I get the next achievement and then I'll stop and save. Because that's almost the only way I can quantify my time.
Yeah. That's why I've been holding off on getting Mass Effect, because
Rock
I
Band.
Really need, yeah, Rock I really Band and need Guitar pick Hero, up and play
I play a
right
set
now.
And then I'm done, you know? I play four or five songs, whatever it is, and then I'm done. I stop and I'll get back to it later. There's no quantitative time of Mass Effect and as far as my play session is concerned.
Yeah.
It scares me, because if I put that in there, I know I'm going to play for a good fucking while.
That's a Saturday afternoon game right there, man.
Shit, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. That's, you know,
for
that's,
those of you that have Saturday afternoons.
That's going to a movie is exactly what that is.
Yeah.
It's plan in advance. Okay, what am I doing this weekend? Well, I'm going to a movie. No, I'm not. I'm playing Mass Effect. That's what I'm doing.
I've got less and less room in my life for games that are like that.
But Bioshock, I will go back and get to. I will definitely. I've got it. You know, I'm going through it on hard mode, and I've already played through. I haven't played through it all, but I played up to a certain point on easy, and then I was like, "All right, screw this." People got onto me. Whatever. I'm going back through hard, and so now I've done it twice, and I don't want to go back to do it on the middle difficulty. I'm doing it on hard. That's it.
Yeah.
Just got to be done.
Is this with the downloadable content?
Or? That's not out yet.
Oh, okay.
That's
what is it? What's up with that DLC?
I don't know. They're supposed to be releasing some downloadable content, some new stuff.
They said some new plasmids.
New plasmids. Now, is it just new plasmids for the game, or is it actually some more levels? Or is it some more continuation?
I don't think there's any new levels.
I don't think it is either. I think they're just adding new content.
I did see where you could have the option to disable Vita Chambers.
Okay.
Oh.
Not much else aside from that.
An easy mode? Just call it the Scott mode. That's great.
Well, it makes me wonder why they put them.
Vita Chambers makes it harder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That would definitely make it harder.
I mean, you could save it everywhere you want to, though.
It's
not like
auto save, you know, quick save, whatever the case. You can save it anywhere.
Yeah, whenever. You don't have to deal with these checkpoints that a lot of first person shooters are doing, like COD and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. But yeah, I'll definitely finish up Bioshock. What was another? There was another one. I need to play episode. I played half of episode one on the PC, but I never finished it. So
you really got to finish it.
I need to finish episode one and then play episode two. I put in no time with Team Fortress 2 whatsoever. I'd love to do that just to see. Although I think COD 4 has pretty much spoiled me.
Yeah.
Rock Band, obviously, I want to get into that with some groups.
You and Dana were playing that the other night, weren't you?
Oh, it was great. It was great.
Yeah, you guys were on for hours, man. Jealous. I didn't have it. Like, look at that. I won't even be able to tear him away from that to play COD 4.
Nope. We were playing Rock Band. That was our goal. We were like, because she had seen a little bit of it. I took it over to her place a couple of days, like Thanksgiving weekend. I had it in the back of my car, and we were at her place. I was putting her profile back on her box after I deleted it. thank God we had the memory card. I took that over there, and I'm like, hey, I got Rock Band in the car. You want to see it? And she's like, yeah. So we put the game in. She had her guitar with her. I brought in the microphone, and she tried some of that, and then she made her some characters. Messed around with the drums just a little bit, not really anything significant. So then she's like, hey, I'm off tonight, and you don't have to do your little football show anymore on Friday night, so you're at home. Why don't we play Rock Band? I was like, hey, I'm all for it. So she comes over, we get everything set up, we make our characters, and we go into that, and God damn, that was fun. Fuck, I really enjoyed that. Can you be the singer again? It's probably tough on your voice, was it?
Bon Jovi. No more Bon Jovi.
All right, well, that's fine.
But yeah, it was great, and I really thought I was going to... Yeah. And I learned that, you know, you can't have as much fun on some songs as others.
I don't like that they force the medium on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Like, you can't progress unless you start playing on a harder difficulty.
Well, there's several things I find not to like about the game, such as how hard it is to swap out instruments.
Yeah.
How the leader of the band can't play anything but his chosen instrument.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you're not the leader of the band, then you can swap out different characters within the same band and, you know, change instruments, even though it's a pain. But
I'll say you found out how to do that.
Yeah, you have to, like, log out of your profile on the instrument that you're logged in on, then log in on the other instrument and choose another character in your profile.
Okay.
You can do it. It just takes them, you know, a million years.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I noticed that. We were having some sign-in problems with what we were doing. But yeah, man, that was a lot of fun. Just a ton of fun. It was really great.
It is.
Yes.
That there can be that much to have to work against and still have as much fun says a lot about it.
That's now, can you have two people local play over XBL?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can have three people local play. It doesn't matter. You can have as many people. I think you can have all four people play against another. I don't know. I don't know if you can have all. I don't think you can have a band play against a band.
I haven't tried that. I don't know if that's an option.
I know you can go guitar against guitar, drum against drum. I don't know if you can go band against band. You can also have one person go on Xbox Live and play with a group of three across the country, or two people play with another two. It doesn't matter. So, you know, me and...
Yeah, Becky and I played with Scott, and then we got a fourth random person.
And then we started
Xbox
bringing
Live.
In a fourth as well. So for those of you listening to the show earlier, we said we're talking about Zilla's name. I got a screenshot of what they told us. It says, the name McBitchin is not what most would describe as classy. You can use this name locally, but it will not be visible on Xbox Live until it is changed. So says the game called Rock Band, which allows you to live like a rock star or whatever. But yet, you know, McBitchin, a little harsh.
And
she says whore, but yet creep, they take out the fuck.
Yeah.
But again, there's a big difference between whore and fuck, I would imagine. But.
Yeah. You can forget that some words are dirtier than others living in Alabama.
Yeah.
We kind of treat them all the same down here, which is why we had to...
Which is why Major Nelson was on, and it's like...
We had to dump
bastard.
Bastard.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I don't know if that's bad or not. And then he's like, damn, and whatever else, I don't know. I was like, oh, shit, I don't know if this is good or not. Whatever. So
we do have to like dump stuff here that we wouldn't have to if we weren't in Montgomery, Alabama. But
yeah, it just makes me nervous. That's all. You know. I don't know. So fucking Christ, it's hot. Why am I so fucking hot in here? Is anybody else hot?
It's warm.
It's fucking warm. Anyway, what else you want, man? You're on the show. What do you want to talk about?
Oh yeah,
Kevin?
You put me right there on the spot, buddy. I appreciate it.
You've been wanting to be on the show.
How you doing?
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to make sure that Jeremy's frustration with AC was really based on his extra work.
It's
that
justified,
he had to perform.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, it is. It is. Now that he explained it to me fully, I can totally understand that. I'm not totally sure if he's going to get two. Which,
well,
you know,
it'll be a while till two comes out, and I'll
yeah.
It depends on what two is, you know, I guess.
Have you did do a little research on guys speculating what it's going to be about?
No.
Have you done that?
No.
Okay, it was on that page that you linked to, Scott. They were talking about, I think Atlantis or something, like this underwater city that's off the coast of Japan. And possibly the setting could be there, or you know, somewhere in the eastern part of the world. If I'm not mistaken, that's what I read.
Yeah, it's fine as long as they ground it. I don't want it to take place in an underwater city that doesn't exist.
You know? Well, no. This place is real. It's underwater now. It didn't used to be.
I think I know what you're. So, well,
are they talking about going with a different ancestor of Desmond's?
I have no idea. I really doubt it.
I just can't imagine wanting to play more Altair. I felt that part of the game was, you know,
I think that's done.
Wrapped
I think
up
that's
and
done
concluded.
I think that's done.
Yeah.
Because I think the next game, obviously, if you see in the achievement, what is it, 1191?
Right.
Is that the year? The Eagle and the Apple, 1191. I think that's the achievement when you finish the game.
Yeah.
That's the year. And so I think the next one will be a different year, which obviously will not, you know, you will not play as him. I think it'll be another ancestor of Desmond's if they continue with that.
That is a concept I could definitely get behind.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Because it'll probably still take place in the man's memory. I think they'll keep that.
Yeah.
And he'll just go back into his past a little bit further. Not further into his past, but a little bit. They'll find another point in time of his past to play as one of his other descendants, whoever that might be.
Sure.
You know, who still has some tie-in with the Templars.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess. So,
yeah.
Who knows?
Kill those fuckers. I want to kill all 40 of those fuckers, man.
Yeah, you know, I do want to go back and do that, because I did not explore a lot of
the kingdom?
The kingdom.
I didn't either.
I went to my destination and did what I had to do, and I didn't really explore too much outside of that. And now that I'm done with that, that's like the fourth level.
yeah.
or the fourth stage. I need to go back and kind of mess around in that area.
Part of me wants to go back and do that, but the problem is it's just this one thing to go back and do, whereas I got all these other games calling my name with
that,
a lot more interesting stuff to do.
You don't want your fucking doppelganger showing up again.
Man, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
What? What are you guys talking about?
He's talking about
my clone glitch.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to go back and explore the kingdom, and I said, yeah, quit playing COD 4.
Oh, man, that's hard to do. As a matter of fact, I want to think that we're all going to do that in a little bit, like, you know, after this, right?
Possibly. When I get home, I gotta fuck with the show, man.
I'm pretty tired. I doubt I'll be playing anything.
When I get home, here's what I was talking to Eric about this. I think he was like, "Hey, you're gonna play tonight," and I was like, "Well, here's what happens on Monday nights." I get home and I download the show from Kevin. Then I upload the show to All Games Radio. Then I convert the after show content to the right, you know, go from stereo to mono and put it to 56 kb, whatever the fucking rate is. Then I upload that to the Evil Avatar Radio server. Then I merge that after show with the regular show and then save that, which takes a while because that's like 2.5 to 3 hours worth of content that I'm saving. So then I do that, and then I upload that to evilavatarradio.com. The reason I'm not playing COD while I'm doing this is because I'm uploading and downloading, which hurts my ping rate on COD 4.
So,
I don't mess with that while I'm doing
downloading
that.
Won't get you too bad, but that uploading will kill you.
That uploading will kill.
Because we have pretty terrible upload rates here in town.
Yeah, well, you know, I just don't want to do that. So normally what I'll do is I'll just flip the TV on and let it play whatever shows I recorded that Monday night and whatever. Like tonight, I'll put on Heroes while I'm doing all the shit and let it play Heroes and watch it. So I have to worry about it then the weekend. So this week... I went through and got all my TV shows out of the way that I normally do. That way I had my weekend free to play whatever the fuck I wanted to. And I played Uncharted so goddamn much. Guys would love that fucking game. Uncharted is great.
I'll play it eventually.
I hope so. You know, I hope so.
I mean, I'll have a PS3 one day. I don't know when, but probably sometime next year.
It was good.
I don't know if it'll be the earlier part or the later part, but...
And I downloaded Pain off the PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
Which is basically just the developer was like, it's not just this, it's more, but it's basically a ragdoll, it's basically a physics demonstration.
Yeah.
Because you've got this guy in a giant slingshot, and then you've got buildings and all sorts of shit around.
Oh, I remember seeing video of that.
You just launch him where the fuck ever, and he's all ragdoll and hits shit and whatever.
That was controversial a little bit, wasn't it? Pissed a few people off, right?
For like 5 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe, but yeah, no. It was the
one person got worked up over it.
There's one where you have to you launch your guy in the air, and there's like a mime. You grab him, and then you throw him into plate glass.
Yeah,
around trying to do getting scores and that sort of thing. But it was okay. I think in the hour and a half to 2 hours I put into it, I think I got my fill. Like, well, that's all I can do. I interacted with everything I could find around that one city that they had in there. It'd be good downloadable content to add extra cities in there, or to add new scenario scenery that you could interact with. But I think I pretty much, ran through that stuff. So I'm done with it. You out?
Yeah.
All right, Zilladana's leaving. I guess we're probably going to go too. So anyway, thanks for being on the show with us tonight, Kevin.
Man, anytime.
Yeah, well, we'll try and bring you back and talk about whatever, maybe next week. We're definitely going to have you on the Christmas show.
Yeah.
I don't know when we're taping that one, but we're definitely going to have you on the Christmas show.
Okay.
So
I remember hearing you guys talk about that on the EC a couple of episodes back.
Yeah, because you won't have to record the show. We'll have it all here for you.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
See, that's actually a perfect excuse for me to come down there.
Well, that would be great. That'd be awesome, man.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do about that.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
See you, man.
All right, guys.